What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of No Winter in San Diego, a sports and comedy podcast that we do once a week where we talk sports and crack jokes while we do it. I'm Black Rob, and as always, I got Dottie B here with me. What's up with you, D?
Chitty chitty bang bang. Bitch, let my nuts swing.
That's what's up. You gotta come up with something new every week.
Yeah, you know, man. The last time I threw something random out there, I hit him with the Jodeci this week. I was like, you know, I'm gonna just throw some stupid shit out there. You know, that's gonna be my weekly routine. You know what I mean? And I almost started him off as a leadoff batter. You know,
hey, if you're the leadoff batter, you gotta start off with a hit, yeah. Or at least a walk.
Get your ass on base. Get hit by the ball. You know, it's crazy, man. You know, some coach from high school baseball and shit. And, you know, you try to explain to kids, you know, their roles, you know, as far as, you know, where they batting and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be telling the kids, you know, get on a walk, single. They looking at me, I want to hit a home run. Oh, shit. Ain't no Mark McGuire's on this team.
Right.
Yeah, what you talking about? Yeah, so, hey, you got to get a hit, man.
That's it. That's what's up, man. Bang, bang.
Hey, corrupt, what we got, cuz? We got haters, smoke, drink, wear biscuits, foe, deuces, trades, switches.
As always, man, thanks to everybody who took the time to download and listen to the show last week. We appreciate y'all. Can't thank y'all enough. Got up over 100 downloads and listens again last week, man. We appreciate y'all fucking with us, man. You know, as we always say, you can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search for No Winter in San Diego. Hit us up by email, nowinterinsandiego@gmail.com. If you take the time to, goddamn.
How are you in the NBA? You airballing.
For real.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Oh, y'all gonna be hearing some reactions because we're looking at this Oklahoma City, LA Clippers game right now, and somebody just shot a fucked up air ball. The fuck was that? But yeah, if I hit us on email, nowinterinsandiego@gmail.com, Twitter accounts, mine is at Black Rob, BlackRob. Dottie B is at DottieBZ619. He needs some more followers. Hit him up.
Yeah, come on, y'all. I don't care if you a racist. You know what I mean? I don't give a fuck what you is. Man, somebody follow me. Shit, I only got one follower.
Me?
Yeah.
That's all right. We'll get you.
And you know what? I just started posting shit this week.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, somebody go. I ain't nobody responding to my shit. You know
what you do? Just follow different people and then just, you know, respond to them. Have conversations with them. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will talk back with you, man. It's kind of cool.
Okay. I'm going to try that.
Yeah. Hit them up. So yeah, that's the best ways to find us, man. Our Facebook is facebook.com/nowinterinsd. We don't really fuck with that too much, but if we start getting more interaction on there, we'll start being more interactive on it. As we always say, man, we try to make the show as interactive as possible.
Ooh,
they ain't got some smash. Man, they charge
on them. They a charge on
them. Oh, okay. Yeah, you can't just jump through it.
Right.
We try to keep the show interactive, man. That's what we always do. So we're going to start off with emails. Let's see. Who took the time to write us this week?
Electronic mail.
You've got mail.
Remember that shit first came out?
It was email. This shit is crazy. All right, let's see. Our first email of the week. Hold on, am I in the wrong damn folder?
Oh.
Yeah, hold on, let me get back.
Excuse us for the technical difficulties.
I was looking at the wrong shit. Alright, so our first email of the week comes from show executive producer Bob Okinwa. Recently engaged Bob Okinwa. Yeah,
what was you saying? Pimp down?
Pimp down!
This nigga ain't getting back up.
the Pat Summerall, there's a man down. but he hit us up with some feedback off last week's episode. He sent us an email titled Booty Warrior. Says, I remember watching that parody on the Boondocks, and this nigga was too funny. Internet reports state that Fleece Booty Warrior Johnson is up for parole on March 1st.
Oh, hell no.
Don't
let nigga at?
Don't let him out. Is he? After, yeah, he's due for parole on March 1st, 2014, after being in prison since 1979 for armed robbery. Hide your butt cheeks.
Man, he coming to get that.
Yeah. Yeah, wait. You know how they got the little thing where you could do the sex offender registry?
Right.
They need one of them with the booty warrior. Track that nigga at all times.
All times.
Yo, they need to make an app for your phone.
Real shit.
Boop, 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 boop.
That would be a good app to come up with.
That would be kind of dope.
Yeah, yeah. The fuck up of that app, you know what I mean? Niggas who be fucking up? Yeah, we know where them niggas is at.
Oh, yeah, that's too comedy. Okay, these are a couple crazy stories I forgot to put on the agenda, but we'll get back to them, though. Okay. Let's see. Calvin sent us a story about, let's see, running back Jennifer Welter makes history by playing in pro football game. What? Mm-hmm. What was she thinking? Now that I've gotten older, I've realized there aren't many gender-specific roles like I once did, but women don't belong on the field with grown men. Let's stop the madness. She got smashed on all three carries. Stay off the field. Yo, did you see this?
Nah, they carried her off the field?
No. She got three carries in like
got smashed, right?
Yeah, she got blasted. Here, for any of y'all listening to this, go online right now. Just search for on the postgame.com, running back Jennifer Welter makes history by playing in pro football game. But she didn't do shit, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's cool to play.
This is her playing running back.
Waka.
She wasn't just getting hit.
She was getting smashed. She got smashed. What they gonna say? Oh, that's a lady don't hit her like that. Nah, fuck that. See, this is gonna go into the Ray Rice shit we gonna talk about.
Oh yeah. Let's see. This is her second carry.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh! Oh no! Oh my god! I'm gonna show my daughter this shit because she wants to play football. I'm saying, baby, look at this. No. She got destroyed.
And you know what's fucked up? They was trying to get her a touchdown, too, because all three of her carries was at the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the third one.
Mm. She did not get a yard.
Yeah, she must have had three carries for like -5 yards.
Huh? You know what, see, Robert? This is the thing. What's wrong with our country? Our country is... I mean, you know what? For the most part, it's good the way our country is ran as far as, you know, you can do anything and all this shit. But, you know, when it comes to women, you know, nowadays, you know, you have to Beyonce and them, I'm a survivor, right. And you know, the independent women. I'm cool with that. You know, intellectually, man, hey, we both the same. But when it comes to physical shit, it just is what it is. You know what I mean? There's no way. Who talked her into doing this shit? Who said, yeah, that's a good idea, baby. Get out there and do your best. And then she go out there and get smashed. I could have told you she was going to get smashed.
Yeah, like, you know, like Calvin was saying, like, there's certain things is just like, as a woman, you're just not able to do. It's fucked up to say, but yeah.
Physically, you can't do it.
Right, it's just like, she's physically limited mm-hmm. in terms of competing with men on that level.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like... It's nice that she wanted to try it and shit like that, but, and you know what? Nothing against her. If that's what she want to do and she want to try it, just understand you're going to be getting fucked up.
Yeah, ain't nobody going to take it lightly. Right. You're going to get smashed.
What they supposed to do? Not tackle her hard?
Right, yeah.
A woman, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Oh, shit, lady, why you hit her like that? Well, get off the field then.
Shit. Yeah, that's fucked up.
That's crazy, homie.
I mean, I guess good for her for breaking ground and going out there and getting
yeah,
fucked up.
Yeah, she broke ground. But her ass broke, too.
Dang.
That's crazy, homie.
She was getting fucked up.
Yeah, it wasn't no, them was some Ray Lewis 0-2 hits.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Let's see, our next email comes from show contributor, show executive producer, Bob Okenwa.
Pimp Damn! We're gonna do that every week, nigga.
he sent us an email. Hey, by the way, I better get an invitation to the wedding, nigga. Weddings be cracking.
He said it's gonna be in February next year.
Out here in Phoenix? Okay.
Yeah, so you know we get busy when we get out there. So yeah.
Is it open bar or no?
I don't know. I don't know if they figured all that shit out, but I hope so. If it ain't, nigga, we're gonna get fucked up anymore.
Yeah,
nigga. No, we do it. Your ass gonna be laid on the lines drinking from sprinklers.
That never happened.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, back to the email.
Yeah, I like that you changed that real quick.
Is it an email in response to the discussion we had about homosexuality? He titled his email Gayness. He says, it's a choice. There's no genetic evidence to show you're born gay. I was born with dark skin and brown eyes. There's genetic evidence to show my race and hair color and eye color. Michael Sam's situation is different than Jackie Robinson and other black sports pioneers. No one has mentioned his race, and he is... openly being welcomed to the NFL. Kind of. Aside from Branch Rickey, nobody wanted Jackie Robinson in baseball, including fans and the media. Sam made his choice to be gay, like I decided that females is where it's at. that nigga chose to be gay. If he was gay from birth, he would have been humping boys at age 4. LOL.
Oh shit.
I mean, well, I don't want to get into that discussion again. Yeah, we pretty much covered it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if I go as far as to say he being openly welcome, because they was talking about it this past week. You know, they at the combine this weekend, they asked, you know, going in depth about, you know, his homosexuality, how it's going to affect him, you know, as a player and shit like that. Just see if the nigga can play.
We'll see, because, I mean, the reason, like, I didn't want to compare it to, you know, what Jackie Robinson went through. Mm-hmm. I mean, all it is, I mean, ain't nobody out there, you know, spitting on him, throwing shit on the field, you know what I mean? Ain't nobody, like, really doing nothing, like, evil to him, you know what I mean? Like the shit he went through. Right. It's just, you know, people were just saying they, you know, they might not want to play with him, you know what I mean? I don't think nobody even said that, honestly, you know what I mean? We have to wait and see what's going to happen once he get into the locker room and shit. And if it's shit like the Richie Incognito going on, then yeah, I got a problem with that. I don't like seeing nobody getting treated fucked up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But if it's just people just saying, hey, nigga, I want to kick it with you, nigga, well, nigga, that ain't too bad, is it?
No,
I'd have had a lot of people say, nigga, Dallas, I don't like you. Well, right. Nigga, I don't like you neither. Nigga, fuck you. You know?
Shit. Right.
Going about your business. So.
No, yeah, that's fair. I agree with you on that. That's fair. If that's all it boils down. Yeah. And I'm not by any stretch trying to say it's just like Jackie Robinson. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the similarities are there. And like you say, man, you know, because this niggas, it's regular niggas. It's straight niggas in the locker room, so you might not fuck with just on GP. Because
they may be fucked up people. Like, right. You drink too much, nigga. I don't like you. Homie. Yeah. You beat your wife, homie, right. So I'm not fucking with you.
It's like, nigga, every time we go out to the club, you get us into a scrap, nigga. Like, I'm not fucking with you.
Real
like,
shit.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's fair. And we'll see what happens to nigga. We'll see how he turns out, what kind of numbers he puts up.
I don't think that's going to happen as far as when he get drafted. Really,
it's going to be in the same, about third, fourth round still.
Yeah, I mean, because I was watching, what's his name, Mike Mayock.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about him. He said he's going to be in between third and fifth round. You know? So, it is what it is.
That's about right for a dude like that.
Mm-hmm.
Our executive producer, Bob, sent us another email about Jonathan Martin. He says, at some point, you got to man up and at least tell the coach or owner, if not flat out, put hands on a nigga. One of the vulgar statements was, we're going to run a train on your sister. She loves me. Yeah, that was bad.
See, like that type shit. No, like, come on, man.
I'm going to fuck her without a condom and cum in her cunt. Damn, yeah, that's fucked up.
Like we said last week, you know, we got a lot of homeboys, we got relatives, we got brothers, uncles, all that shit. And at no point in my life I heard anybody I know talk like that.
Right.
Even just joking around, you know? So it's like, this motherfucker is a fucking psycho.
Yeah. Bob says, I'm pulling out the 9mm on anyone for that kind of statement.
Right.
But right. Jonathan Martin is light skinned, so that's to be expected with soft light skinned brothers.
That's fucked up. So if you light skin, you just assault that nigga. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Damn, that's fucked up.
I guess all light skin niggas be like Drake, nigga.
Right.
They be crying and shit.
I know some tough light skin niggas.
Hey, but he right though, man. That's one thing about it. You know, nobody should have to be subjected to that, but.
Yeah.
At some point, you gotta do something about it. You can't just hope it stop or be like, right. I'm gonna be friends with the nigga right. and hope that'll put an end to it or some shit like that, you know? That is one thing I agree on. Like, he let this shit build up to where he got fed up and just stormed out, you know? Yeah, never let it get to that. That goes for anybody out there, man.
Yeah.
Did you see the shit where his dad, Jonathan Martin's dad was like, well, I went to Harvard, and when we was at Harvard, we just had to deal with the same shit. Sometimes, I guess you just gotta let white people, treat you foul, it comes with being around. Yeah,
that's southern mentality type shit. No, I can't even say that because them niggas is buck wild down there. No, I will say that. I will say that because I've been to the South before, and I remember one time we was going to the little grocery store, and this old white dude, he was little than a motherfucker too. Now, I ain't that big, but he was smaller than me and shit. And he was like just looking at me, you know what I'm saying, like nigga. And I'm looking at him like, count what the fees at, man, don't pay that shit no attention, you know what I mean? Just going about your day. Like, nah, fuck that. Why I always gotta back down? because the color of my skin.
Right.
You know what I mean? Fuck that, homie. But
yeah. To be fair, it's not strictly to the South, but there are some people who got that mentality of you just got to take shit.
But I'm saying I think it stemmed from, you know, the shit that happened down there. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So, you know, people migrating shit to different states and cities, you know, 100 years ago, whatever it was. And, you know, you get raised a certain way.
Yeah, that's true. Because, like, okay, if, say that were you, and you were in that situation, and you hit your pops up, like, hey, this is what these niggas is doing to me. What would your pops say?
Oh, he gonna say, check that motherfucker.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And if you don't, you know what I mean? He not, and he'll say it not in these exact words, you was a punk or whatever, you know what I mean? But he won't say it like that, you know, but that's just how I felt we was raised, though. You know what I mean? You better stand up for yourself.
Well, and that's the main thing. Stand up for yourself. Right. However you go about doing that, do something.
Do something, yeah.
Like, the more I read about this shit, it's like, Jonathan Martin really didn't do anything to put a stop to what was happening.
He enabled the shit.
Yeah, and he let it go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So, that's for sure. You got to do something. What's up, son?
I'm a little hungry now.
Okay, well.
Oh, wait, I forgot the water. That can fill me up.
Yeah, go ahead.
RJ, it's crazy, homie.
That's my son. That's Black Rob Jr., y'all.
He said the water filled me up. Hey, there you go. That's good for you anyway. Shit,
yeah. Let's see. Next email we got, again, comes from executive producer Bob Okinwa. He wrote in with a few things to mention from the last podcast. George Whitfield is the QB guru who trains quarterbacks in San Diego.
He's a brother, right?
You know,
I think he's black, homie, because I seen some shit on ESPN, and they was talking to him. He had played for, like, San Jose State or something like that back in the day. And, yeah, he's a brother. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, because, like, a lot of quarterbacks come out. Yeah, he is a brother. Yeah. A lot of quarterbacks come out here and work with the nigga, you know what I mean, to get, you know, on every little thing. And it goes back to something we talked about with, this is a few weeks back, but with Sam Bradford. Not Sam Bradford, nigga in Detroit, Matt Stafford.
Yeah,
he's talking about he don't want to work with a nigga like he don't want to work with any type of coach like that. But there's like so much shit you can learn from a dude like Whitfield to get better. Just like your footwork, your release, and shit like that. And yeah, like you were saying last week, the weather out here is real good. So niggas in February come out here and get that work in. He also wrote in, Blake Bortles is a prospect because he's big and white. Asked Ali B how I termed the phrase big white QB syndrome.
Man, real shit.
So what is that? Like, just like the same shit we're talking about, like old white man syndrome?
Yeah, it's just basically, homie, if you 6'4", 6'5", like 230, 240, you're a good quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Without even really analyzing this guy, you know, because I remember, I think, I was talking to somebody, Ben, you and you were talking about before how big this dude is. He ain't got a big arm and shit like that. And it's like, I mean, and I don't like how they pump players up. Because Blake Bortles, I ain't never heard of this dude until, you know, fifth, sixth week into the season. But all of a sudden, he should be the number one pick overall. Nah, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah. He goes on to say, every year scouts prop up some big white QB. Yep. This year they were pumping up Mettenberger because he's 6'5", 235. To be fair to my dude, though, he got an arm. You know what I mean? If nothing else about Mettenberger, he could throw.
That's the dude from LSU, right?
Yeah.
I like him.
And he looked a lot better this year with a legit offensive coordinator. He had Cam Cameron.
Cam Cameron, right.
NFL coordinator, a guy who people look at and say, yeah, he's a good offensive coach. He looked good this year, you know, or better.
He had a fucked up injury, though, the season, though. That's the only thing that scares me about him. But, I wouldn't mind taking him third, fourth, fifth round. You know what I mean?
As a project? Yeah, for sure.
Especially a team like the Raiders.
He says last year it was Tyler Bray because he's 6'6 with a big arm.
Yeah.
They did the same thing for Gabbert, too. I'm tired of it. Stop hyping up these talentless hacks. If these dudes weren't 6'5 and above, they wouldn't be prospects in rounds 1 through 4. Yeah, I agree, Bobo, man. It's crazy because it's like, if you watch these dudes play in college, there's nothing about them where you say, okay, that dude's a first overall pick.
Right.
But then in the combine, you know what I'm saying, you see him work out and shit.
Or measurables and all that shit.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. And because, you know, because me and you, we watch a lot of college football. So it was the year, I'm going to go back to this guy, Russell Wilson. We watched this dude. We was like, this motherfucker is white.
Yeah.
And then we hear all this, oh, you know, his size, he might not. But wait a minute. This is the same motherfucker we've been watching.
Right.
And he goes to the third round, but you want to put, what's this dude?
Blake Bortles,
number one pick overall? I'm like, come on, that makes no sense to me.
None whatsoever.
Yeah. But that's that white quarterback privilege shit right there. Mm-hmm. Perfect example.
Yep. White QB syndrome. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a thing on this show. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that a lot. Every time mm-hmm. it comes up, motherfuckers, they be like, just, they can't wait to draft a big white boy.
Right. And then he be sorry as hell. Getting fucked up by a gang of niggas.
Let's see. The next point he sends in, Larry Bird's career regular season and playoff average are 24 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 38% three-point shooter, 89% free throw shooter, 51% from the field, 3 MVPs, 3 titles, and this nigga won the three-point contest without taking off his warm-ups. Walked off the court before his last shot went in. And that might be one of the most gangster shit.
Yeah, like, it was, homie. Like, I ain't even taking my shit off. And I'm just gonna walk with my hand up, man. I know that shit going in.
Tell Dallas he can't just dismiss Bird that easily. Aside from defense, he can do everything pretty damn well. That goes back to when we was talking about, basketball Mount Rushmores and mm-hmm. shit like that. But, that's the problem with any of those, lists or Mount Rushmores. It's been so many great players, mm-hmm. You ultimately going to leave somebody off, So, it's kind of hard to say,
I just don't feel he is better than, I could replace, took Shaq off and put him on there. But as far as the other guy, I don't think he was, better than him. Because, mm-hmm. Numbers is one thing. But, once you look at the numbers, you can see, all these guys were similar when it comes to the numbers. Now, let's actually watch them play. And the athleticism just blows them out of the water.
Right.
He was a smart basketball player.
No, that's the thing. It's like, just saying that you wouldn't have him on your Mount Rushmore don't mean you're saying that he's bad. Like, you can only put 4 on the mountain, so
somebody get left off.
That's a problem with them lists, though, man, mm-hmm. doing this shit like that. The next point he brings up is Derek Jeter's bitches, and he sends us a link with an article mentioning all the women that he's messed with. Dang, he messed with some bad ones, too. So, this article, Sports Nation did a thing where they put all of them in different positions.
That's big.
So they got Mariah Carey in left field, mm-hmm. Jessica Alba in center field, Jessica Biel in right.
I didn't know he had them breezies.
Vanessa Manillo in third base.
Damn.
Scarlett Johansson at short.
She bad too.
She is, homie. All of these are.
Hey, let me borrow one, homie. Damn, he got Tyra Banks. I don't remember all that.
I didn't even remember her messing with Tyra. Dang, Adriana Lima. That's the Victoria's Secret model.
Mm. Dang, Jeter.
That nigga did it right, and these just the ones that get mentioned, been more of that.
Shit, I'm gonna be surprised if you got a couple of kids out there too. Bitch, you better not say shit. Here goes some change.
Yo, he used to give them gift bags when they would leave the pad, homie. you ever hear about that?
Nah.
Oh, you hear about that? Okay, let me find it. He like, so say he would bring a bitch over, beat it up. And then, like, put him in the cab, to go home or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. This nigga would give him, like a swag bag with, like, autographed baseballs and shit. Like, memorabilia and shit.
Well, you think that's smart, though, if you think about it, though.
Yeah.
That is hilarious, homie. I had no idea. That's crazy.
Let's see. All right, so here's an article from the New York Post. Derek has girls stay with him at his apartment in New York, and then he gets them a car to take them home the next day. Waiting in his car is a gift basket containing signed Jeter memorabilia, usually a signed baseball.
Oh, bitch, here you go. Hold on to that, there you go.
Hey, that's some pimp shit right there.
Cause ain't like he gonna buy like diamond rings and shit. You know what I mean? Like, y'all play baseball here, bitch? Here you go.
Like probably like a hat, some baseballs and shit. Yeah. Like
that's funny, y'all.
That's better than Tiger Woods. And the other thing too about Tiger Woods, where he let me down. Fuck if you getting out there, you fucking random bras, whatever. Mm-hmm. But homie, like, why you fucking a bunch of like basic ass chicks? You know what I mean? Yeah. Females that anybody could pull.
Yeah. Well, he had to at that time.
I guess.
He was married and shit. He can't be out, dating celebrities and shit.
Jeter was out there getting all-stars. Tiger Woods was out there getting role players and shit. You know what I mean?
Hey, but I'll tell you this. Tiger Woods' bank account is a lot more fatter than his.
He took a $200 million hit, though, with that divorce.
Yeah, he still got change, though.
Don't ever get married, nigga.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that shit.
Or if you do, get that prenup.
Man.
Let's see. The next thing he said in this email, talking about Yankees third baseman. Because we were talking about how, you know, the Yankees are going to miss A-Rod. Okay. Whether or not they'll miss him. He says, Yankees third baseman batting average last year, including A-Rod, hit .231 with a .633 on base, or OPS, excuse me. That ranked 29th. He said A-Rod by himself hit .311 last year. He said the Yankees are in trouble in the hot quarter. And don't forget, Michael Pineda is coming back also. I don't know how good A-Rod is at this point, you know what I mean? He's definitely not the player he was, you know, even 5 years ago, but I mean, I think it's a loss. We'll see how they can make up for it without him.
No, I just think they're gonna have to play a different brand of baseball.
Right.
You know,
they can't just rely on home runs no more.
Because, I mean, they do have a couple of home run hitters. They got Teixeira coming back.
Right.
You know, hopefully he can stay healthy. I mean, Beltran, he's not your typical, you know, power hitter, but he will put some over that fence.
Yeah, he's going to hit a few.
You know, so you got Ellsbury out there. He's going to still get on, steal some bases. I don't know how much they can rely on this dude. Brian Roberts,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They still got McCann. He's capable of hitting 30 home runs. So, I mean, like you always like to say, hey, motherfuckers have career years.
Right.
Hey, they probably going to be good, but if these niggas been doing the shit they've been doing the last year or two, then, hey, they're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
That's what's up. And then, like, the last point he mentioned in this email is shouts out to SDSU coach Steve Fisher. 10-20 win seasons in 15 years, including 9 straight 20-win years. SDSU had 9 total in school history before he arrived.
Crazy.
Great coach and great underrated program. For real, man. Like, I mean, we was in the top 5 at one point this year, so we finally starting to get some love, being recognized as the best basketball program on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
We getting top recruits. We got 2 top recruits coming in next year. I keep forgetting them niggas' names.
Okay. Where they from out this way?
West Coast.
Okay.
Well, one of them, I'm not sure where the other ones were, because one was considering Georgetown.
Ooh.
But ended up deciding to go here.
I
always forget, man.
I know you're doing good shit. You can play with Georgetown.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like, he built a program, like, from nothing. Like, mm-hmm. That's the thing people sleep on is, like, this program was absolutely nothing before he got here. You know, he came here after the whole Fab Four bullshit debacle and left Michigan and came out here, man, and turned it into something. So that's what's up. See, our last email of the week, I think it's the last one, comes from your brother, Calvin, hit us up with a question about Jameis Winston and, you know, his baseball prospects. He says, coming off a Heisman Trophy and national championship year, now playing baseball for FSU, what does Jameis Winston do next? I don't know if you ever looked into his baseball career, but he's pretty good with a very athletic dual sport player. Which sport does he choose? Obviously, everyone will initially say football, but not me. How many top football players, especially quarterbacks, get drafted high and end up being a flop? Now that there is a cap on how much these NFL draft picks are entitled to, is there still a big lure of getting a huge payday during the first couple years of the NFL? In contrast, baseball does not sign their top draft picks to very high as compared to how football used to do it. Initial contracts either. Yeah, they get signing bonuses, but nothing extraordinary. When you compare salaries and careers in baseball and football, Jameis might want to consider playing baseball, although nothing is guaranteed except baseball contracts.
Man.
For real. Baseball might be a better career choice for him. Baseball players get lucrative contracts for mediocre performance. Look at the salaries of baseball and football players and tell me what you think. Now, what do you think? We kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on it? What do you think?
You know, I'm still kind of on the fence about it, just for the simple fact that he is going to be the number one pick overall in NFL.
Right.
Which he's going to get a lot of guaranteed money. But then on the flip side, like Calvin was saying, which sport you can have a longer career in, which is baseball. But see, the process of making it to the pros and make that big money is totally different from football.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get drafted. Let's just say he gets drafted in the 6th round.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get the same guaranteed money that he will as a number one overall. Then he has to go through the minor leagues, then perform in the major leagues just to make that money up that he lost from not going to football.
Right.
So that's where the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've read and seen, he's really not that guy, though. That everybody's claiming to be, excuse me, as far as a baseball player. I think it's Keith Law. I think it is. He's on ESPN baseball shit, and he said that he's just basically a regular hard throwing right hander.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. He got a tough decision to make though.
Yeah. I think he's got to focus on football right now. Like I get you and Calvin are saying how it's tough, and we all agree he baseball is obviously the better long term prospect,
right.
But like you say, he's just at this point he's basically just a hard throwing right hander with a lot of potential, right? And even as an outfielder, it's just a lot of potential. The athleticism's all there,
right?
How good is he really going to be? In this link that Calvin said, it says he got a save last week, pitched two innings, zero hits, zero runs, zero earned runs, one strikeout, no walks on six batters faced. At the plate, he had one plate appearance. He drew a walk. And in the field, he played left field in a game last week. He caught a fly ball. Okay, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, right.
He threw a runner out at third after fielding a bunt while pitching. Also, he was on the hump. He's on the hump, and he fielded a bunt and threw a guy out. Mm-hmm. He recorded six consecutive outs in relief after entering last Saturday's game in the eighth inning with runners on first and second with no outs. Okay, so he came in a tough situation, got some outs.
We know he's mentally strong, so
That
ain't gonna faze him.
Absolutely. He had a quote. He says, "I wanted to get out there and pitch," Winston told Seminoles.com. "Obviously, I was excited, and when they called down to the bullpen, I was ready." So he's a solid baseball prospect. This is actually a really good article I came across. This is from Baseball America. Because when Calvin sent that question earlier in the week, I went looking for more info. And let's see. It's an article from Baseball America. Ask Baseball America, how good is Jameis Winston as a baseball prospect? They say it's hard to imagine an athlete changing himself more than Winston has in his first year and a half at Florida State. Winston is the Seminoles quarterback, the most challenging position on the football field, and one that requires the most off-the-field work. Winston has to study defense, memorize the playbook and audibles, master a variety of pre-snap reads. Winston is also a right-hander for the Seminoles. With all the work that requires both to get good, reads on the ball in the outfield, working on his throwing, it's a different motion from football, right? As well as put in plenty of work as a hitter. And Winston is a switch hitter, so he has to work on a pair of swings at the plate. Hey, he be doing a lot. If all that wasn't enough, Winston also pitches for the Seminoles. He's a two-sport star and a two-way baseball player. He has a potential first-round talent as an outfielder, a pitcher, and a quarterback. Now, he's definitely a first-round talent quarterback.
Yeah.
As far as him being a first-round pitcher or hitter, that's the question, right? For the NFL draft, some experts are already saying he would be the number one player taken if he was eligible for this year's draft. On pure baseball talent, Winston was regarded as a top three-round pick. Baseball America ranked him the number two prospect in Alabama and 59th overall heading into the 2012 draft. They posted what they wrote about him in 2012 coming out. In 2012, the Rangers picked him with the 15th round pick when coming out of high school. Knowing he would likely head to college and play both baseball and football, as a freshman, Winston hit 235, 345 on base percentage, and 377 OPS. So that's what he did his freshman year. Becoming a starter after a virus-shelled outfielder Josh Delph. He also went 1-2 with a 3 ERA in 27 innings as a reliever.
it's pretty obvious what he should do.
Right. Let me find the main thing where it's talking about the money.
Come on, Durant. That was stupid.
This is the big thing I took away from this article. It talks a lot about what he did in baseball and shit. It's saying, if he had 100 at-bats his senior year, 200 at-bats last summer, say 200 by next year, he'd be a first-round hitter, too. Well, this is what I'm saying. If he gets all these at-bats, maybe he'll get better.
But he's not going to do it, because football is going to take up his summertime where he should be playing baseball.
Right. This time next year, he needs to be working on getting ready for the pro day, combine, all that shit.
Yeah.
The big takeaway I took from this, looking at the money, he says the number one pick in the most recent NFL draft was offensive tackle Eric Fisher. He signed a 4-year, $22 million contract with the Chiefs. If Winston ended up going in the top 10 picks in the NFL draft, he would get net a guarantee of more than $10 million. Chris Bryant was the first overall pick in the baseball draft last year. He got $6.7 million signing bonus from the Cubs last year and is the most anyone has received in the past two baseball drafts. No team, even the number one pick, could sign a player for much more than that without incurring penalties or sacrificing the rest of the draft. And while Winston is good in baseball, he's not that good.
Right, yeah. So that's the point.
Like, he's pretty much guaranteed $15 million guaranteed, you know what I mean? If an offensive tackle got 10, he's definitely going to, well, it's hard to say, because who knows what's going to happen next year. Coming back, the team might not be as good. But as long as he performs well, he's going to be at least a top five pick.
Right.
He's going to clock at $10 to $15 million this time next year. So you got to go football. And then even if it doesn't work out,
you can always go back.
Come on, go play baseball.
Yeah. Like Russell Wilson right now, they said he visiting the Rangers spring training facilities. I don't know if he going to fuck with him, but he's out there at least because he has the opportunity. So
So yeah, that's what we think. Everybody else, man, chime in. Let us know what you think. You know, what would you do? What would you tell your son to do if he was in that situation, man? But that's it for emails this week, man. Thank you all for taking the time to write us. We appreciate y'all. Thanks for contributing. Let's get into these topics for the week, man. So the combine is this weekend. NFL draft is coming up.
Oh, man, I thought they were selling slaves.
Hey, it do look like the slave trade.
Yeah, I thought it was slave trade. My bad. Oh, I was mistaken.
Yeah, we can't. We can't ignore the similarities to the slave trade. They be like having them niggas line up, be licking all in their mouth.
Stretch your arms out.
Yeah.
All this nigger isn't picking up the pig cotton all day.
Be taking notes and shit. Ooh, this nigga got a real wingspan.
Right. Like, damn, homie. I mean, can you imagine that though? Back in the day, you get on the slave ship and shit. You all shackled up. You on a fucking platform, and all the white people was betting on you and shit. I was fucked up.
That's
homie.
Crazy.
So I think these niggas feel. They in their little draws and shit.
Yeah, but they about to get paid millions of dollars.
Yeah, that's the difference. Yeah, that's a big difference. But
still, yeah, like I say, we can't ignore it though. It's, right. It's real similar. Yeah, but so that's going on this week, man. They gonna be over-examining these niggas, trying to figure out any which way, any reason not to draft the niggas. They gonna forget about all the football they've seen out of these niggas for the past 2-3 years and come up with weird reasons why niggas ain't good no more. Your team is picking in the top five this year. With the draft coming up, combine coming up, man, who do you think your team should take? Well, let's back up. Who do you want them to take?
Right.
Who do you think they will take? Because that might be two separate things.
Okay. So first, I'm going
to
speak on who I think we should take.
Okay.
And it's between two players, whoever's left on the board, between Clowney and Watkins. Watkins just ran a 4.34.
Woo!
You know what I mean?
That boy fast.
Yeah, he just ran a 4.34 earlier today. So, and the reason why I would want to take one of those guys is a defensive pass rusher can mask a lot of shit. You know what I mean? So, I mean, nothing's a guarantee. But when I look at this dude, he reminds me of Javon Kearse when he came out. And you seen the havoc he caused when he came out of Florida.
He didn't stop
instantly. He was just killing motherfuckers. And he went to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? From what I've been reading, that we might use a franchise tag on Lamar Houston, who is a damn good defensive end, but we don't have nobody else on the other side. What I'm saying?
Right.
So if we can bring him in, I mean, you can't double team both them motherfuckers, so you got to deal with one of them. So, you know, Clowney, I like him. If he's on the board, take him. If Watkins ain't on the board, so then I talk about Sammy Watkins. I mean, that motherfucker is just he's a beast. You know, and we're missing playmakers on our offense. And I hate to hear people say, oh, y'all need a quarterback. You know, we need a quarterback, but who are you fucking going to throw to?
You know what I mean?
I'd rather just, you know, have the two dudes that we got right now, you know, let them duke it out, maybe bring in a veteran, you know what I mean, through free agency. Or I'm hearing that we might get Josh Freeman. I wouldn't even be mad at that. He's still a young quarterback, you know what I mean? He's shown, you know, glimpses of being real good. So, I mean, it's so much shit that we need, though, Robert. It's like, I really can't pinpoint you know, who we should get, what we should get, why we should get it. You know what I mean? Because we have, from the top to the bottom, we have hoes. You know? So.
Who's the one nigga that you don't want?
Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles.
Yeah. I just put up NFL.com/draft, and mm-hmm. their mock drafts are up. And right, to be, like, perfect, mock drafts at this point really don't mean shit.
They don't mean shit.
Because free agency ain't over yet. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You never know who's going to move where and shit like that, right?
All right. And they'd be wrong majority of the time anyway.
Oh, yeah, they'd be way off.
Yeah.
But it's just funny because, to me, I'm about these jokes. And mm-hmm. two of the four analysts on here have y'all taken Blake Bortles
with
the fifth overall pick.
I don't get it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, you know, we've talked about the change for the quarterback. We've talked about old white man syndrome. Mm-hmm. We got white quarterback syndrome. Mm-hmm. Another term that I want to get out there that people start thinking about is the spectacular Negro factor.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about Sammy Watkins, homie. Mm-hmm. Like, he can take him on any given play, he might go all the way to the house. Mm-hmm. And you need as many niggas like that for your team as possible. That, like, when the Chargers was good in 2007, we had a bunch of niggas like that, mm-hmm. even on defense. Mm-hmm. A nigga like Sean Merriman, who at any given moment come off the edge, force a fumble, change the whole game around.
Change the whole game around, exactly.
So, when I'm looking at the draft, I'm always looking for niggas like that.
Yeah, right. And, especially in the first round.
Yeah. Especially in the top five, when y'all are picking. You know what I mean? So, I think definitely, man, like, y'all... If y'all take one of those two, y'all gonna be straight. I hope y'all fuck up and take Blake Bortles for my own.
I know you do.
I know you do. Because I don't want to see Clowney or Watkins in the AFC West for the next mm-hmm. 10 years. You know right. what I mean? A couple other mock drafts I came across had y'all taking Bridgewater if he's there at 5, mm-hmm. depending on where everybody is. Now, how would you feel about that? Let's say Clowney is gone and
Watkins
is gone. How would you feel about them taking Bridgewater fifth overall?
Man, you know what? Like I said, I really don't want a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just for, you know, the reasons that I brought up, you know. Our offensive line is shitty.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where a lot of top 10 quarterbacks get fucked over.
Right.
It's obvious that your team sucks that's picking you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they won't be picking the top 10. Majority of time when your team sucks, that means your offensive line sucks.
Right.
So you're going to put a rookie quarterback behind a shitty offensive line with the niggas like Von Miller, Holly, Houston. These are all pass rushers who's in the West.
Melvin Ingram. Melvin
Ingram.
Don't forget about that.
You know, we play against Seattle this year.
Mm-hmm.
We play against the motherfucking Niners.
Mm-hmm.
We play against motherfucking Arizona, who had a top 10 defense. So you gonna put this nigga here and go against these motherfuckers with a sorry ass line? It's a recipe for disaster. So I mean,
that's what happened to David Carr. He got shell shocked.
Yeah, he got shell shocked. He was getting fucked up. You know, and I mean, hey, like you always say, these are human beings,
mm-hmm.
nigga. I'll tell anybody to go out there and get behind some 300-pound niggas with 300-pound niggas trying to tear your fucking head off.
Right,
you gonna bitch up too.
That's real shit, man. That's real shit. You know, like you always say, chase for the quarterback. Some teams be mm-hmm. so pressed to find a quarterback that they don't look at, like, okay, is that really the best situation for
right.
us right now? Like, versus, like, it's one thing if you're a team who, like, you're a quarterback away. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing that's holding you back or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the, I mean, cut you off, but no, I think that's the situation with Houston right now.
Right.
I think that'd be smart. You know what? I'm going to change my outlook on Johnny Manziel.
Mm-hmm.
I took a step back. And I just thought about Johnny Manziel. And the only thing that I really have a knock on about him is his tendencies to think he's playing Madden and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Which I feel can be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
He's a damn good football player. He's a playmaker. And honestly, if they chose Johnny Manziel, I wouldn't be mad at that.
Okay.
I would not be mad if they took Johnny Manziel right now because they got a good defense. They got playmakers on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They got a good-ass line. Matt Schaub was just bitching up last year.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I wouldn't be mad if they took that dude.
It's different now because the contract with the new collective bargaining agreement, mm-hmm. the amount of money you pay, first-round picks, mm-hmm. is different. But my only concern with him, that high is off-the-field shit.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he be active. You know what I mean? And my thing is, if I'm going to make you my franchise guy and mm-hmm. pay you all this money and have all this salary cap tied up into you,
mm-hmm.
I I gotta make sure you ain't gonna be out here fucking up. You know what I mean?
But what do you do to make sure? I mean, because you really can't, you know, force a nigga to, you know, act a certain way. So, or let's just say that your organization came, you know, to an agreement. We're gonna draft this motherfucker. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what do you do to put him in the best position not to fuck up? Because it's hard. I mean, what you gonna do? What Jerry Jones did? Hey, give me a security team and follow this motherfucker 24/7. Hey, you really can't do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why it goes back to risk reward. Like, do I take that risk on a first overall pick, or even like in y'all case, like a fifth pick? Mm-hmm. Do I take a risk on a dude where that's going to be a concern? And you know, it goes to like your interviews with him and shit like that, seeing what he's all about, seeing you know what his maturity level is like. Because look, I'm one. I always understand niggas who is like 22 years old. They're going to be 22 year old niggas. You know,
especially
what I mean?
If you got like millions of dollars.
Yeah. So I get it. I just want to make sure that this nigga understands that he's coming into a job. You know what I mean? Right. And needs to behave accordingly. That's my only thing.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit more, a little deeper. If you really think about it, and unless it's some shit I don't know of, Johnny Manziel really haven't been a real fucker. All the shit that they reported on is, okay, he was signing some autographs. He was late to the, you know, the Peyton Manning thing.
He got in a scrap. At a party. Yeah. They went to a party at Texas. Which
is dumb.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you already looking for trouble. You're going in the wrong set.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. That can happen to anybody, honestly. Uh-huh. Just like we're going to talk about the later on in the podcast about the brothers at Ole Miss and shit.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you can be at the wrong place at the wrong time some shit can go down. You know what I'm saying? So I don't see him as a dude who's going to be socking up on bitches or, you know, DUIs and shit like that, which I really don't look at as a bad thing anyway, because, I mean, you shouldn't be drinking and driving, but I would rather you, if you're going to get in trouble, do that instead of getting caught, you know, slapping your bitch up or you out pistol whipping motherfuckers and shit like that, you know what I mean?
No, I get you. Like, it's a concern. I don't know how much of a concern.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, my thing is, especially for my quarterback, I need my quarterback to be the, you know, first into the building, last one out, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Putting in the time, work, extra study time. Cause like, I don't know if Johnny Manziel is that dude or if he's the, I'm real talented, so let me just go out here and ball type dude, you know what I mean?
Well, I know he comes out here to work with dude that we saw about earlier.
Right, but that's leading up to the draft, trying to get drafted. Is he gonna continue that once he's drafted? Once he gets drafted, first overall.
I would have to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's taking initiative to actually go out here and work hard, you know, to get to a certain point. So, I mean, I would be surprised if he stopped, you know, doing that. I don't see him pulling a Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
Because that came out of his mouth and he's shit.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like
I said, that's where it goes back to the interviews with him and see what he's about, you know, see what his mindset is. And even then, he might just be saying all the right shit just to sound good or whatever. But, yeah, I wouldn't take him top five, I just need too many concerns.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like I said, if they do get on one, be bad. If they didn't draft him, as far as talking about the Texans, if I was a Texans fan, I wouldn't be, you know, breaking shit and, you know, getting mad. You know, it's like, okay, let's get the next motherfucker.
I feel you. With regards to my team, the San Diego Superchargers. You want to play the song? Yeah, we're going to play the song. Every time we talk about the Chargers, we got to play the song. But with regards to my team, man, I've seen it all over the place in terms of what they're supposed to be doing. Anywhere from an offensive tackle to a corner to a defensive lineman. Like, for me, the thing that I want, to see is them draft Lewis Mix, the defensive tackle out of Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. That's the nigga I want to see, because I think that's like the one position and the one player who immediately makes the entire team better.
Okay.
Because if you look at it, like, for the last several years, they haven't had a nose tackle.
Since Jamal Williams.
And you can't run the 3-4 defense effectively without a nose tackle.
Right.
And we've had games this year where, I mean, we just get pushed around, homie. And it's like, yo, what the fuck is going on? Like, and if you, it's because Cam Thomas, while he's decent, he's inconsistent.
Right. Oh, my God.
Y'all should see that in his face right now. All right, let it ride out.
See, it's all fucked up.
It is.
Because your team is fucked up.
No. There's other
yeah,
shit
good,
playing
good,
in the background.
Good.
Shut up, nigga. We playing it. but yeah, man, we need a nose tackle more than anything. That makes your we got two young defensive ends in Kendall Reyes and Corey Legit, right?
Yeah.
They're both
I like
talented.
Too.
I like him a lot.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean? I
like Legit.
He came out, had like five sacks this past year, man. Had a good year. We got young middle linebackers in Tao and Butler.
I don't like Tao, though.
You don't like him?
I just feel he's not... Okay, just like you talked about earlier, this spectacular Negro. Right. I don't think he has that.
Soda.
He doesn't.
Soda.
Go ahead, you got your soda. He doesn't have that, but I don't think they need him to have that. I think they need him to be a... Because if you think about it, he's going to be a pretty much a first and second down middle linebacker, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, run situation type linebackers. Mm-hmm. They need him to be smart, make solid tackles in the middle in running situations.
So he's an average guy.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you look at how he played down the stretch... He was a solid middle linebacker.
Okay.
If he can be that, a solid starting middle linebacker or your second middle linebacker in a 3-4, that I'm cool with that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because you have Butler, right?
I like Butler's deal, too.
Yeah.
I like him.
You have Ingram. You know what I mean? We need another outside rusher eventually, but I think a nose tackle makes everybody better, right? It makes your secondary better because now you get more pressure from the other niggas. You know what I mean? So,
but you want that in the first round, though, if he's there?
If he's there at 25, hell yeah. They're projecting that he might go higher than that because Green Bay, you start looking at the teams that run a 3-4 and who need a nose tackle. Green Bay, they might let...
Raji?
They might let him go to free agency because he already turned...
You should slide in.
But he already turned down $8 million a year.
Mm.
So I think he's trying to get broke off.
Somebody give it to him, too.
Yeah.
I would.
We can't afford to because, like, we up against the cap.
Yeah, I know. I was going to bring that up, too. Yeah, okay.
Because, like, when I first saw that Raji was going up, going to be going into free agency, I was like, oh, we got to get him.
Mm.
But after we re-signed Butler, that might be all of our cap space, or most of it.
So y'all may have to make a few cuts, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, because actually, this is funny. Me and Dwight was talking about this last night about the Chargers, because he's the one that brought the cap situation to my attention. So I was like, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they cut ties with Antonio Gates, homie.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either because the amount of money that they have to that they're going to be paying him for the production, and with all their cap concerns, like they can slide a Green up in there and
Green's
be just as productive. Yeah.
Yeah,
and you know what? Real shit, I wouldn't have a problem with it because it's football, it's the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you got to let go of old niggas who are making too much money if you want to be good.
He's showing on the field.
Yeah,
he's been hurt a lot lately
The thing about him, man, is his injuries was all to his lower extremities. You know what I mean? His feet and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you know his conditioning ain't where it needs to be, and you can see he looked like chunkier than what he used to be, and he's not as quick and explosive. So
you know that damn Church's chicken and fucking you know kicking his feet up on the table.
All the Popeyes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, I wouldn't be surprised if they have to let him go or, you know, because they still hurting from the bad signings AJ Smith made. You know, it's going to be another year before they get out from under that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how creative they can get. If they don't draft a nose tackle, I want to see them draft a cornerback. I think that's our next biggest need.
Okay, okay.
But, I mean, your corners are only as good as your pass rush, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand. If you can get them defensive linemen a couple more seconds, you know what I mean? And vice versa.
Right.
So.
And this is actually a fairly deep draft for cornerback because we're in a fucked up spot where we're drafting 25th.
Yeah.
So, thankfully, though, there's a few talented corners in this draft. So, either way, man, either way, they can't go wrong. I don't think they need to draft an offensive lineman just because what they had last year, at least not that high. Not
they
first.
Held up, though.
That's what you mean?
The offensive lineman.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they played good.
Don't fucking blow the shit up and bring somebody else in.
Right. They can get another year out of the lineman they had. You know what I mean? So we'll see, though.
Mm-hmm.
What was you going
to say? No, I was about to just go back to, you know, just like we were talking about that line. The line did good. And this is the thing I hate about fans,
because
you know what I don't know what the percentage is, but it's very high where fans don't know what they're talking about, and all they do is listen to motherfuckers on the radio, ESPN, and they say certain shit. Because all I hear was this shit was people saying, "Oh, the offensive line is horrible for the Chargers." I'm like, nigga, I didn't watch these motherfuckers play every week. Philip Rivers is standing upright,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it was some games where, he got fucked up. That's any quarterback. That's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, for somebody to come and say, oh, we need to draft the offensive lineman in the first round. It's like, nigga, what about all the other problems we got, though?
Because, like, you and I always say this. A lot of niggas out here became Charger fans in, like, 2006, 2007, right?
When they got hot.
So, it's like, all they've ever seen is an offensive line of Marcus McNeil, mm-hmm. Chris Dielman, mm-hmm. Nick Harwick, mm-hmm. Luis Vasquez, yeah. And then sorry ass Clary at right tackle.
Right.
But like when the rest of your linemen looks like that, mm-hmm. you can get away with Clary at right mm-hmm. tackle when mm-hmm. don't look as bad. Mm-hmm. So that's all they know. And so they're like, well, you know, he's Phillip Rivers always had all this time before. It's like, no, like that was a unique situation.
Right.
Every quarterback is gonna get pressure.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like you're not gonna have five Pro Bowlers on your offensive line yeah. every year.
It's
you
rare.
Know what I mean? So it's like we have a good nucleus of an offensive line right now. Mm-hmm. That's not our biggest concern.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. You know what I mean?
I don't think so either. Because who's the guy that y'all think y'all got from the Eagles? A black dude.
King Dunlap.
Yeah, I like him. He just be getting cussed.
Yeah.
Like, damn, man, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, but he played good when he was healthy, though.
He's a big hog.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the other dude y'all drafted last, Fluker.
Fluker?
I like him. He's nasty. He be talking shit. I like him.
You see when he body slammed one of the dude from the Raiders?
Yeah. I'm high. Like, man, you got to do my nigga like that, man.
Because, man, he a San Diego Supercharger. That's what we do. So, yeah, man, for sure. Like, I definitely, I hope they go in the right direction, man. To me, it just seems like so obvious. Like, that's the biggest need is nose tackle. Mm-hmm. Like, and I always feel like with your first round pick, you should be drafting someone who you could plug in right away as a starter.
Exactly.
You know, if they draft a corner is a position that takes, you know, a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the young dudes that they let play corner towards the end of the year play pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, at what point do you say, okay, let's rock with these young cats who showed something?
I think y'all need to get rid of Weddle, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad if they cut him for the, considering, you know, the cap situation
yeah.
and what he's making mm-hmm. and what he gives you.
Yeah.
Hey, let him go. Like, no. you can bring, you know, you could bring a free agent in off the street or put a young dude in there and get you that same production.
Yeah.
They always talk about, well, he's, you know, he's so smart and he's the leader on the field, this and that. I'm like, okay, nigga. Where's the plays at? Show me the
right,
plays.
Right.
Like, I'm not paying you $10 million a year to be smart. You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
exactly. Be ankle tackling you too.
Right.
See, that's I'm constantly getting arguments with this dude at my job. He's like, oh, he be making plays. You know what he did? He be making plays and shit. But at the same time, homie, it's like, this dude, he's always the last motherfucker getting to the play,
mm-hmm.
or when he do trying to tackle, he's flat footed and he trying to dive instead of running to a motherfucking running through him. Just like with Seattle, we always wonder, but these niggas hit.
Right.
He tries to tackle.
Right.
He don't even tell, he tries to do it.
This nigga grabs on the ankles and then just holds on
yeah.
real tight and hopefully
yeah.
the nigga fall down.
Yeah. He always going backwards, homie, and I can't stand that shit.
Mm-hmm. And I've always said about him, like, this is what I've always said about Weddle. He's a solid player for what he is.
Right.
And if you just leave it at that, that's
mm-hmm.
fine.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not, like, a superior talent.
Right.
So it's like, why we keep trying to act like he is? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
motherfucking Chargers fans, it's like, if Eric Weddle played for the Raiders, people would be talking so much shit about
shit,
him.
Yeah.
You know, he's undersized, he's
mm-hmm.
slow, he's not strong.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he makes up for all his deficiencies by, you know, being smart and making good
right.
reasons. But, like, to me, I don't want to pay that much money for a nigga who's not giving
right.
me the spectacular Negro factor.
Right. Go be a coach.
Right. Real shit. So, I mean, that's it for the Chargers draft. Wait, one more thing, though.
You just had to play that shit up.
Whenever we talk about the Chargers, I'm going to play it.
That shit is so fucking old, though. Y'all need to get a new one, homie.
We're gonna have a rap song.
I'm gonna write the shit, too. They're gonna clown him like a motherfucker.
San Diego Supercharger.
We're gonna have to get like a webcam or something eventually, homie, so they can see the shit we be doing.
Oh, shit, that's comedy. All right, man, speaking of the draft, and we'll keep tabs on the draft with the combine shit, and
mm-hmm.
as free agency gets cracking, you
mm-hmm.
know, there's going to be a lot more shit happening.
Right.
How this shit all looks and shapes out will change. But we've been talking about Blake Bortles a little bit, man. Like, this nigga is moving up the draft boards quick, man. Like, I've been reading a lot of shit. A lot of people have him projected being first overall. Came across this article saying he's the only top-shelf QB throwing at the combine. Why is that? Why don't the other cats throw at the combine?
Oh, okay. You know what? It's funny. I was thinking about this last night, and I wanted to, this is a question I wanted to bring up. Do you think that you would, you know what I'm saying, change your outlook on a player if he doesn't, you know, throw or run or whatever at a combine?
A little bit. I think so. Because my thing is, if you're not going out at the combine to work out, my question becomes, like, what are you trying to hide? You know what I mean? Like, are you trying to hide something? As much shit as we talk about Blake Bortles, I do like what he said about when he was asked, you know, what do you think about, you know, the fact that you're the only quarterback throwing at the combine and shit like that. He said, why wait till pro day when you have an opportunity to make your first impression here in Indianapolis? I grew up watching this as a kid and dreamed of competing in it. Why would I sit anything out or do anything or do any of that kind of stuff? I'm just excited to be here and honored to be here. Definitely believe I belong here. So, like, I get that mentality of, like, yo, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to show what I can do. No?
Okay, let's see, this is what I'm saying. I'm the type of nigga, I like to read between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So, let's talk about the other two quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Manziel, Bridgewater. Okay? These two dudes are accomplished quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come in through the back door, and their stock started to rise. So, he has more to prove. So, yeah, you should be going to the combine, homie. That should be your mentality. You know what I'm saying? I don't like putting too much stock into the combine because anybody can have a bad day. Mm-hmm. Anybody. So let's just say Johnny Manziel go out there and he just fucking bombs this shit. I'm telling you, a lot of these NFL executives and shit, they're going to drop him down. But a motherfucker like me, I seen what he did when he went to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I seen what he did to Alabama when it came to Texas A&M. I know what this dude can do. I seen what he did in his bowl game, in his BCS game this year. That, what he does at the pro day, what he does at the combine, is not going to change my outlook of what he does on the field. And I think that's where a lot of these executives fuck up. Just like how Mark Ingram slid down the fucking charts. They were saying he was going to be a top 10 pick.
Mm.
You know what? Now he came to the combine.
Are you talking about Mark Ingram or Melvin Ingram?
The guy from you got.
Melvin Ingram? Melvin,
yeah.
Okay.
His arms are too short.
Right. Yeah.
I said all the shit this nigga did on the field.
You're right.
When Terrell Suggs set the NCAA sack record. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I don't like his 40 time.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, look what this dude has done his for career. One of the best defensive players we've seen, you know, since we've been watching football.
Right.
So my whole thing is, I don't take too much stock into saying, oh, why aren't you performing? I didn't see dudes get hurt in this combine this year already.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, if you want to say, you know what, man, hey, look at my film. I don't want to risk me getting hurt. You know what I'm saying? In this combine, we're already, I'm accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Way more than Blake Bortles. 10 times more. So that's how I would look at it rather than they trying to hide something.
Okay. I agree with you for the most part. I think any organization, any front office that looks at one thing and then uses that as a reason not to draft a nigga is dumb.
But right? They do that though, right?
Oh, I'm not saying no. Okay, but yeah. I'm not saying that's the difference between like good organizations and bad organizations.
Right.
You see, Ozzie Newsom in Baltimore, like, he's like, I don't give a fuck about Terrell Suggs 40 times. Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I call like this whole process leading up to the draft. These teams are all looking for an excuse not to draft a nigga.
Right.
They're not looking for, okay, why should we draft this dude? Mm-hmm. They're saying, what can we find as a reason to not draft a nigga? Mm-hmm. And any organization that does that is dumb, I think. That looks at one little aspect and says, oh, okay, we're not going to draft him because of this. I think that's dumb. You should be trying to get like a full picture. Get as much information as you can and get a full picture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that said, about these three quarterbacks in this draft, there's not a clear-cut favorite. There's not even a clear cut one and two. Like the year with Luck and Griffin, it was you knew one of them was going one, one of them was going two, and Luck was probably going one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? With this, these three dudes are all competing against each other right now. Right? Combine that with the fact that like the difference between a combine and a pro day, the combine, they're throwing shit at you a little bit more so than the pro day where it's like, okay, you decide which routes you're going to throw and everything you're going to do. It's like,
I get all that.
It's your terms versus their terms.
I get all
so
that.
That's my only thing.
Okay, because you said they're all three of us competing. To me, that's not, in my eyes, the only two that's competing or realistically should be competing is Manziel and Bridgewater. We're going to talk about it next, I believe. But Bortles has gotten so much hype. It's like, I don't like players who get hype. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be in a conversation with these two guys. You know, that's my whole thing. You know what I mean? And so, with all the hype, and I mean, like, a lot of these NFL executives, they do lazy scouting and shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I agree with that. ESPN, Fox Sports, Bleacher Report, and now I'm going to make my decision. Because that's what, I mean, and I can't say that that's what they do, but from the outside looking in, from the shit that y'all do, that's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he shouldn't be in a conversation with Manziel and Bridgewater. There should be the top two quarterbacks picking, regardless if it's first, fourth, seventh, whatever it may be. But he shouldn't be picked before those guys.
All right. Now, I agree with you, but should don't matter.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's true.
Because
yeah,
you and I can sit here and talk about how it should be. Yeah, the reality is
that's true.
Is how it is. So if I'm Bridgewater, if I'm Manziel, I'm like, okay, this thing is, I'm competing with this dude. He out here throwing. Let me go and do my thing too. You know what I mean? And just let me outshine him on every level, on every opportunity. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just crazy to me. Like, I agree with you completely. This dude should not be the first overall pick, but a lot of shit I'm reading have the Texans taking him first overall.
See, that's correct. So I think he has a prior history with O'Brien, from what I heard earlier today.
Is that what it is?
But you know what you were just saying as far as they should go compete. I look at it, okay, like boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I look at Manziel and Bridgewater as two champs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Why would they fight Bortles at this point in their career? He has more to gain, you know what I mean, as far as them going to compete. If they fuck up, like I said, then everybody, Bortles outshined, played him in the combine, now he should be picked higher than him. Nah, I don't give a fuck about that.
Right.
Because it's a possibility that can happen.
Okay, I get your analogy. But Manziel and Bridgewater ain't two champs, though. That's the thing. That's the difference is, like,
When it comes to that position, they are, compared to him.
No, but see, you're looking at it in terms of, like, you're looking at it specifically in terms of what they did in college. I'm talking about going in, being the first quarterback taken. Mm-hmm. They, all three of them have question marks. It's not like there's a clear call.
I get what you're saying.
That's my only. But either way, like, we both on the same page. Damn, we can't just run through it. And they're going to get mad saying that's not a foul. You forearm shivered the nigga.
Come on, homie. Come on. Hold on. Let me see. Nah, that's blocking.
Oh, yeah,
that's blocking, homie. Look, he's not set.
and he flopped.
Yeah. Yeah, fine, that nigga, homie. Oh, ooh, look at Jamal Crawford. 36 points off the fucking bench.
Damn. That gonna be hard to beat. Look at this score, though. 123 to 117.
No defense.
Oh, shit. All right, man. Last thing with the NFL before we move on. Apparently, they're looking to implement a rule where it'll be a penalty to use racial slurs. What you hollering about?
Go ahead and finish.
What?
Because go ahead.
The head of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, which monitors diversity in NFL, expects the league to institute a rule where players will be penalized 15 yards for using the N-word on the field. John Wooden, head of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, anticipates the NFL's competition committee will enact a rule at the owners' meeting next month. We did talk about it. I'm sure that you saw near the end of the year, the Fritz Pollard Alliance came out very strong with the message that the league needs to do something about language on the field, said Ravens general manager Ozzie Newsom, who is on the league's competition committee. So we did discuss over the last 3 days. Newsom also said the committee talked about other slurs coming under any possible new rule, including homophobic slurs. Wooten, who previously has urged all players to stop using the N-word, thinks the NFL rule will automatically... The NFL rule will, this is written all fucked up, will be an automatic 15 yard for first time offenders and ejection for the second infraction. I would be totally shocked if the competition committee does not uphold us on what we're trying to do, Wooten said. According to CBSSports.com, we want this word to be policed from the parking lot to the equipment room to the locker room. Secretaries, PR people, whoever, we want it eliminated completely and want it policed everywhere. No, wait, you keep shaking your head, man. What's up?
Because it's the whole process behind it. You know what I mean? So, I'm going to split this up into two different conversations, okay? First, I want to talk about how the process of how they want us to stop saying the word.
We mean us.
Or the players.
Okay.
There's a majority of black dudes out there, and we use that. And that's when we get into that, too. I hate, because this is always what word am I looking for? The superior, you know what I'm saying, mentality that it's always the white folks over the black folks. Oh, now we got to say, we're going to give you a 15-yard penalty if you use the N-word. My whole thing is, The problem with this shit is the education of the word.
What do you mean?
Of the using the word nigger or nigga.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think that instead of saying, "No, we're gonna give y'all 15-yard penalties," it's almost like, you know what I mean? It's the same. It's the whole American way of life. You know what I mean? And she'd be like, "You know what, man? This is a fucked up word. You know what? We're gonna start educating y'all on this word. You know what I'm saying? To trying to steer y'all away from using it, and just saying, "No, we're gonna give you 15-yard penalties and keep you out the game if you use it," and that's it. You know what I mean? Because I use it, you use it, most of the black people we know use it, and honestly, sometimes I'm like, you know what, man? I mean, why the fuck do we even say this shit? Mm-hmm. It's just something that we've been saying since we was kids. We hear from our cousins, our older brothers, whatever the case may be, and it's a badass habit more than anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I think that educating everybody, just like we go to the Martin Luther King flyers that they had, who's the me? You know what I mean? It's just a lack of ignorance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think instead of them trying to come out and enforce and say, well, we're gonna let's give them a 15-yard penalty and kick them out of the game if they use that word, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's the part I don't like. You know what I'm saying? Let's say, all right, no, let's just start having some real life seminars. Get some real life educated black men come up in here and talk to these young black men and educate them on why we shouldn't use that word, and just not say, you know, leave them to a fucking committee. You know what I'm saying? And say, give them 15-yard penalties and shit like that. That's what I don't like about it.
Okay,
that's my whole. That's how I feel about the whole situation.
Okay. See, you're talking about, well, you're looking at it from the wrong perspective, I think, because it's like you immediately went to the white people telling niggas what to do and what to say. Fuck that shit. These niggas is at work, and if your boss say don't do something, then you don't do it.
Okay, this
period
is my
point blank.
Okay, but this is my thing though. We don't hear what goes on the field. We're the consumers. Right? So what I'm saying is, the owner, nobody hears that shit was going on in the field. The only reason this shit
gets picked up by the mic sometimes, homie.
But okay, this is my thing. No, this shit wasn't a problem. Okay, how come this shit didn't come out when Roddy Cooper said it? Remember Roddy Cooper came out? That's why I say you gotta take the racial aspect into it.
Okay.
He came out and said the nigger thing, and he's using that word, right? So he's a football player, so it's obviously that's in his vocabulary. You know what I mean? Now you got the bullying shit, now you got scam coming out, you know what I mean? So You know, we say, oh, that's gay. You know what I mean? We say shit. You know what I mean? So they probably be saying that shit on the field. So now, all of a sudden, now all that shit in, they want to cover it up and say, well, we're going to stop making them saying the word nigga. But what about when that motherfucker said it? How come it was an issue then?
It was an issue, and that's completely separate than what they're talking about here. They're talking about while you at work, when you pull into the facility, right, behave like you at work. Nigga, when you pull, you and I, the way we talk is completely different from how we talk when we go to the office at work. We don't walk in the door at the office, oh, what's up, my niggas? This, that. No. It's different, right? So what they're saying is, nigga, while you're here at work, behave a certain way. That's it. They say, what's wrong with that? Like, people get all up in arms about that shit.
Because this is the thing. Okay, that's just like, okay, because we work construction.
Right.
Like you said, when you go to the field to do your work, it's a totally different environment when you're in the office.
That don't make it right, though.
No, okay, but that's what I'm saying, though. These dudes don't know what the fuck is really going on in the field. So how can you police that?
I think Newsom don't know what's going on in the field.
No, but what I'm saying is, though, they saying that, oh, we got to police the shit. Ozzie Newsom, you're not on the field. So, I mean, a referee can fucking throw a flag on anything. Oh, I think he said that. Oh, well, if you hear the word nigga, you don't know who said it. But you're going to throw a flag on everybody in the group? You know what I'm saying? It's like, how can you police that?
Oh, niggas just don't say nigga on the field. That's
it. But what I'm saying, okay, so somebody, I mean, that's hard, I mean, like I said, this is bad habits that we have, right?
Okay, but at the same time, when you go to work, you are able to control yourself by not going in the office and being like, oh, this is some bullshit.
But see, that's the office, though, homie.
Okay,
when I'm in the field and I'm working with my partners, we talk like we at the pad. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ain't like they fucking, you know, in the press conferences talking like this. I can understand that. You know what I mean? But while they're on the field, it's going to be very hard for them to say, hey, it's an emotional game. Shit, you know, gets out of hand. You might want to fuck a nigga up. Yeah, you going to say some shit.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. Like, at the end of the day, the NFL is a business that seeks to maximize its profits. So if even the perception that niggas is on the field. Let's be real. Everyone knows niggas get on the field saying some fucked up shit. Right? So if you can eliminate that perception and say, no, we're doing this, this, this about it to minimize that, that brings more eyes to your product, more money into your product.
But
right?
They're already making billions on top of billions.
Right? And the reason they stay on top is because they always looking for how can we make billions and billions more. That's where baseball goes wrong. It's like, well, we make decent money, so we cool with that. We don't need to change anything. Football is always looking like, how can we make it better? How can we make more money?
Okay, so let me ask you this question then, Rob. What do you think their intention, why the reasoning for them of implementing this rule?
I think it's multi-layered. I think part of it is because you got old heads like Ozzy and old white people, right, who like, they like, because you got to think about it, a nigga like Ozzie Newsome, right? He played football back in the day.
Right.
He an older brother. Mm-hmm. He don't talk the way you and I talk. You know what I mean? So, like, that shit is probably off-putting to a cat like him, right? You got white people with money who are put off by it. And I think a big part of it, too, is this shit with Sam coming in. To make it to where niggas can't just be on the field calling this nigga the F-word and shit. You know what I mean? Like, so, if they're trying to nip it in the bud, you know what I'm saying, and get out in front of it.
Now, I don't think they really care.
You don't think so?
I mean, it goes back just like to the concussion shit we talking about last week. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, well, we were, like you said, they come up with all these new rules so they won't get sued.
Oh, no, they I'm not saying they care about, like, because you were talking about how they bring people in and educate them. Yeah. That would be dope, but the NFL don't give a shit about that.
See, and that's what I'm saying. That's my whole
they,
no, part.
They're doing it for run. Money. I don't have a problem with them doing it for money. Everything they do is for money. So why am I going to be like, oh, well, this one thing that they are obviously doing for money should be different than every other fucking thing they do, which is only for money. That's how they work, homie.
Man, but I just don't see how you don't have a see. You say you don't have a problem. I do have a problem with it.
Did you have a problem with the dress code when the NBA did that?
I mean, it goes back to the same thing that I was talking about. It's like I understand why they did it, but it's almost like I hate when because when you look at it, all the teams are basically individual businesses for the most part.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So as an owner, if I don't have a fucking problem with my player coming to, because the thing was, I mean, they was just looking like some, I mean, just like at the All-Star Weekend shit. You know, they come in dressed up, you know, just like regular cats, you know what I mean? I mean, as long as they ain't coming in with motherfucking house shoes on and Dickies
it was
tank tops.
It was getting out of line. You had niggas like Allen Iverson rocking Dickie shirts, a wife beater, and a do-rag sitting on the bench.
This is another issue I have with that. They want to embrace the hip-hop culture to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's my whole thing. It's like, nigga, don't take half of my shit.
You go back to talking about how, you know, it should be idealistically. I'm talking about reality.
Yeah, but I am talking about reality.
The reality is
fucked up.
They're trying to.
It's not
fucked up.
That's how we always get held down.
When you come to work for 2.5 hours, behave a certain way. When you come to work for two hours,
jobs though. This is like you going to Walmart.
That's what niggas always say. Oh, it's not regular.
It's not regular. Come on, man.
It is.
These niggas is making $1 million. They're making $1 million.
That don't matter.
$1 million a year. It does matter, homie. Okay, you go to Walmart. Yeah, they got uniforms. This is what they wear every day. Okay, when you go on the court, nigga, you got your uniform put on. So if you hurt, homie, you know what I mean, like I said, it ain't like nigga coming in house shoes and shit like that. You know what I mean? I just don't like how you want to embrace
because they're the fucking boss.
They can do what they want to. I gotta agree with it though.
Then don't go play in the NBA. Don't work for them. All they're saying is
I'm not working for them. What are you talking about?
No, but you're saying, oh well, I ain't got to embrace it, nigga. For what the NBA said and what they're doing with this is saying for 2.5 hours a day, behave a certain way. That's it. That what is so hard about that?
Because listen, like I said, homie, once again, the NBA out of any other sport and tries to embrace the hip hop culture more than any other fucking sport. Okay, so my whole thing is I don't like how, and this is what's written in history of America. They always want to pick shit from black people. We're gonna use this part, but this part is fucked up. Well, I just don't like that, homie. You know what I mean? Don't embrace, 75% of the hip-hop culture. You got rappers, you know what I'm saying? You invite rappers to your shit, and you got all fucking concerts before the All-Star games and all this shit, but you don't want niggas to dress a certain way. You can't have it both ways, homie.
Yes, you can.
You're talking about the image, and why you got images on your fucking games of the rappers and shit. It's the same shit.
When you the owner, you make the rules.
I understand that, Robert.
No, you don't, because you said you can't have it both ways. ways, yes, they can. They can pick and choose which aspects they want to bring in.
But I'm talking about as far as me not liking it. You say you all right.
I'm not saying you have to like it, but I don't understand why niggas be like, oh, these white people telling niggas what to do. Yes, the world's always been like that, nigga. What universe do you exist in where the white people don't set the rules, right? So I'm like,
yeah, but okay, but like I tell, hey, homie, either, hey, you gonna fall for, you know, you fall for anything, you ain't gonna stand for nothing, homie. So at some point, niggas gotta, I mean, if you look at the, I don't wanna compare it to that. But you know what, man, at some point, people gotta realize, homie, that they are robbing us of all of our shit, homie. You know what I mean? That's what it comes down to.
Because you can't wear a fucking do-rag on a bitch.
I understand that. You missing my point. I understand.
I'm trying to understand it.
Like I said, you wanna embrace the whole hip-hop culture. You want to have concerts.
No, that's the mistake you're making. They don't want to embrace the whole hip-hop.
Why do they? If they didn't, if
they make money. Everything they do is to make money. So they're saying, how can we make, how can we bring in, how can we bring in the black community and the white community? If we embrace the whole hip-hop culture, then we're going to put off some white people. If we don't embrace any hip-hop culture, we're going to put off some black people. So how can we do just enough to bring in everybody?
Because the basketball, we understand basketball has nothing to do with hip-hop. They brought that shit in.
What do you mean they brought that shit in?
What do you mean? I mean, back in the fucking 70s, they didn't have the fucking, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire performing before the, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I can see they was doing this from the beginning of the time, but they wasn't having fucking acts and all. If you look at the NFL for the Super Bowl, they always have different type acts. They had Red Hot Chili Peppers. They had the motherfucking Bruno Mars. They always got different type of acts. It's always hip-hop acts for NBA. So it's like, okay, homie, if you want some diversity and all that shit, start bringing some country shit up in here. Start bringing other shit up in here. But all you want to do is bring in hip-hop shit and then say, well, yeah, we're going to have the rappers come in with they saggy pants and woo-woo-woo, but y'all can't dress like that, but we're going to make money off them. I don't like the shit, homie, point blank. Regardless of you say they can do it, yeah, they can do it. It's their business. You know what I mean? But I don't like the shit, homie. And that's what's wrong with us as a people.
You
need to look at it like that, homie. That's why we get treated like a certain way. That's why, as a black community, homie, we don't own no businesses. We don't own shit because we always combining with these motherfuckers.
That's why, homie. Because your boss tell you to wear a shirt with a collar and a sport coat.
It's deeper than that, Robert.
No, you on your conspiracy brother shit.
It's not conspiracy, brother. This is you looking at a simple plan. Oh, they just saying you need to dress like that, so fucking do it. Nah, homie, we always fall into the trap of doing what these motherfuckers say. You know, on the real, homie, no, because we're getting off subject, homie. But I'm just going to end it on this, homie. And then we're just going to the next thing. Sports is fucked up for niggas. We shouldn't even be trying to play sports. We need to be starting getting our own businesses, making our own money, and stop making money for these motherfuckers while they robbing our culture. Point blank, let's go on to the next shit.
Yeah, you on your conspiracy.
It's not conspiracy shit. If go look at the numbers, how many black people own businesses in America? It's a very small percentage. Go look at the Asians, go look at the whites, homie, and they own a gang of business way more than we do. We ain't making no fucking money.
That don't have shit to do with sports. That have shit to do with all the other shit going on out here. That's what I'm saying. You go from
it's all hand in hand.
It's like you go from
they breed us to fucking go play this shit, homie. How many times in your whole lifetime anybody came to you and talked to you about owning your own business?
What do you mean, come to me and talk?
That's what anybody saying. Talk to you?
Niggas constantly sitting around waiting for someone to come to them and say,
okay, how do you think these white people make money? Because motherfuckers before them have talked to them. Hey, homie, you know, this is how you used to do shit. Look where we come from. Did your dad own his own business? Or did he work for somebody? My dad worked for somebody. My parents didn't push me to go to college, homie. Nobody was in my household talking about, hey, you know, you should go to college. That wasn't on my fucking mind. Niggas, shit just don't pop to motherfuckers, especially when you're young. You know what I mean? We're getting kind of off subject. But what I'm saying is, homie, as a people, we need to start thinking for ourselves and not just saying, well, he said I got to dress a certain way and I'm just going to fucking do it.
Okay, then wear whatever the fuck you want to wear tomorrow and see what happens.
Honestly, I really do. Nigga, I ain't got to iron my shirt to work because that's the type of environment I work in, though. You know I'm construction it. I can go to fucking work.
But you know, it's still a basic standard of what you can and can't wear. That's all I'm saying, man. Niggas try to make the jump. This shit is no different than any other workplace, nigga. They have certain standards for what you can and can't do, and you either follow them or you don't.
Yeah, either you follow them or you don't. But
you're making the jump from this to this is why niggas is fucked up. Niggas is fucked up for a whole host of other reasons outside of sports.
No, because we allow them to poach us of certain shit, and then on the back end, the niggas who's actually in their business, homie, they don't have no saying in just a simple shit as far as what I can wear when I'm not actually working. because they're not even working. They're not even talking about their work. Their work clothes, because their work clothes is the basketball shorts, tank tops, and the fucking shoes.
Okay, if you injured and sitting on the bench, you at work. From the time you start walking, like when they show them walking in the tunnel, that's when, essentially, if you was punching the clock, that's when your work day starts. Right? That's why I don't have a problem with it.
But like I said, I don't have a problem with the way that they dress. I mean, as far as I'm willing to dress a certain way, I just don't like everything else behind it. Like I said, it goes back to them trying to embrace the hip-hop culture.
Okay, that's where we disagree.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I don't have a problem with it.
You making a leap.
I'm not making a leap. It's only fucking... Robert.
Everything they do is about money. If you look at it from the prism of every single thing they're doing is how can we make more money.
That's not the fucking issue, though,
Robert. It is, because you're turning it from... Okay, how can we make more money to how can we rape these niggas of their culture and shit? It's not even that big.
Yeah, because they're making money off of our culture, nigga. What part of that you don't understand?
They make money off every fucking culture.
So the NBA is
Panda Express owned by an Asian man? No! Look, homie, motherfuckers seek to make money off of anything they can make money off of. It ain't specific to black people. And that's what I'm saying. Every single thing is not worthy of taking to the furthest extreme of, oh, this is what's wrong with niggas and shit like that. That's all I'm saying, man.
It's not that deep. That's what's wrong with it. We don't think things is that deep.
Whether it's some shit is that deep.
A lot of shit is.
This sports shit is not. That's what I'm saying. Sports shit is not that deep.
Okay.
It's put a coat on or don't say nigga at work. Okay. That's it.
We'll be talking about this shit forever. We'll talk about that shit another day. Because I got a whole bunch of other shit I can bring up. And you probably ain't going to say it's related to this shit, but I do. But let's just go into the next topic.
Because you're wrong, nigga.
Okay, yeah, it's fine. You know.
All right. Moving into baseball, man.
Fuck Hokies.
It can't be like that. We ain't going to have no white listeners. Moving into baseball, man. This baseball season heating up. Spring training getting started. I want to start talking about the Padres more and more. A lot of people have the Padres listed as a sleeper team this year. Hey, but you know what? When you stop and think about it, I can see why, homie.
Robert,
you tell me why not then? Because you shaking your head saying no.
Because I gotta be realistic about the situation. All the niggas we got, these niggas can't stay on the field. That's why.
What do you mean?
Josh Johnson.
Okay.
Who's the dude that plays center field? The black dude.
Cameron Maybin.
Carlos Quinton. We got the fucking nigga who always on PEDs behind the plate. Henley just got hurt again. We got another nigga coming off suspension or off accused of getting using PEDs. You know what I mean? So it's like Alonzo, he was hurt last year. So a lot of dudes we relying on got some fucked up history of being injured.
Right, but that's why they being called a sleeper team, not a contender.
But saying with a sleeper team, it's like, oh, yeah, I don't see it, though. Because know why? Our division is tough. Top of that.
I don't disagree. But it's one of them things that I don't like talking about. If everyone stays healthy, this is a solid team. There's no reason this team can't contend. You look at the rotation, the projected rotation. Mm-hmm. Andrew Kastner.
I like him.
Josh Johnson, when healthy, is good.
Yeah.
Tyson Ross.
I like him too.
Ian Kennedy. Eric Stokes. That's a good rotation.
It is.
You look at the bullpen, they got Houston Street back again. I don't like him. No. But they got that dude. I don't like closers who can't throw hard.
Yeah, he coming throwing that. But you know what? His shit is nasty, though.
It is.
But that's another nigga who gets hurt year after year.
But they brought in Joaquin Benoit.
Who the fuck is that?
You don't remember him from who he used to play for?
Joaquin. I don't even know who that is, homie.
He was with...
Oh, homie from Detroit.
He was with Detroit.
That's right. Okay, I forgot about him. We did sign him. Okay,
So we signed him.
But he get hurt, too.
Okay, but that's where it goes back to sleeper team, right? If... Everybody stay healthy, and we always say if it was a fifth, right?
It gives that notion that we're going to do something, though.
No, see, I don't think that's what sleeper team means. I think when you say, "Oh, this team is a contender," that's when you're expecting.
I get you.
We expect Henley to have a bounce back year, but you say he already got hurt in spring training.
Yeah, he got hurt yesterday. I think it was a calf strain or something. They say he's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks. This is the same shit that happened last year.
These niggas be tender as fuck.
Remember, he got hurt in spring training and he fucked the whole season up. But see, you know what? Going back to, you know, we talked about, you know, the word homophobia and just the term word. I don't like putting labels on shit because then when you say a sleeper, it automatically starts triggering shit in your mind. Oh, wait a minute.
So, okay, what do you think of when you
hear a sleeper? I don't like that. I just say, I think we're going to be a below average team. Average at best. Yeah, you know why? Because the division we play, we got, I mean, regardless of what you want to say about the Giants, they still got talent. The Rockies, they got their two motherfucking stars up there, and as far as Gonzalez and Tulowitzki, they can carry that team. You got, remember, Arizona, Brown, and Trumbo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you got the Dodgers. I mean, every team has the capability of whooping up on each other.
Right, but you never know what's going to happen. It's not, put it like this, if the roster of this team mm-hmm. looked different, mm-hmm. I would probably feel different, right? Okay. The Dodgers started off like shit last year. Let's not forget that. They got
a lot of injuries, though.
They did. That's what I'm saying. You never know who else might get injured.
But what happened, though? Oh, they went on a fucking tear like you've never seen before.
Right. But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I hear a sleeper team, to me, it just means a team that you might not automatically think of as being a good team who could be a good team.
But see, you don't automatically think of it until the people put the word sleeper in it. Then you start thinking,
no, what I'm saying. And then what I'm saying is my definition of the word sleeper is that.
Because we always talk about how Charger fans always talk about, oh, next year we're going to do this. When you start putting labels on shit, you're like, oh, the sleeper team. They think, oh, if this happens, we can do this. And motherfuckers start getting hyped up. We get the wrong, you know. No, nigga, I know baseball, homie. I'm looking at this roster. I know the history. And we're going to win probably about 70 games. 70, 80 games.
Okay, I'll put it like this. I wouldn't be surprised if the team won 70 games, just like I wouldn't be surprised if the team won 90.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a good enough, this is a team that I think is good enough to win 90 to 100 games.
I just don't want to get my expectations up.
That's all you're doing. You've been a Raider fan too long, homie.
I don't want to be like, yeah, okay, because we do got some talent, but
yeah.
I don't want to be like, nigga, we're going to do this, and they could come fucking May, homie. We like 15 games out of first. I'm like, man, I knew these niggas going to be sorry. Like, I'm going to get my expectations up, man.
Been a Raider fan too long, you just always keep the expectations low down.
Yeah, I got to.
Shit. I see you, playboy.
Yeah, I got to.
All right, well, speaking of that, with the Padres, man, for Buddy Black, now, I hit you with this. Do you think this is a make or break year for him?
How long has Buddy Black been there?
This is his eighth season.
He's been there 8 years.
They have not made
the playoffs. He's came close. I know at least once.
Two times. They had the game in Colorado where they had to have a one game
layoff. They got fucked. Okay, yeah. I remember that. And then one in San Francisco.
The year where they went to the last game of the season in San Fran. Yeah.
You know what? I like Bud Black, but the one thing that me and you always talk about him, he always outthinks himself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the matchups. You can have a motherfucker that's fucking 8 for 10 the past couple of games, and you'll bench him because of fucking lefties pitching.
Right.
That makes no sense.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then what really kind of like opened my eyes to, because I remember you used to talk about it, I was always thinking, I was like, oh, no, man, I think Robert kind of tripping on Bud Black. But what really fucked me up was when they traded for the Tejada, and what was the white boy's name?
Ludwig, yeah.
And they changed the whole dynamics of the team, and they started playing a different brand of baseball. That was the year we won 90 games.
Yeah.
And we kind of fell off towards the end. So, I don't know, man. I guess you could say that this year, if you don't show something, homie, you might have to get somebody else up in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so, man. I'm not a fan of him. I think it happened. That was the year you're talking about is 2010,
mm-hmm.
and that was the year where I was like, "Yeah, I'm done with this dude."
Because
what did it for me was even before that trade, it was a series. I can't remember where they were playing, but they had Scott Harrison that year.
Okay,
and he had went on a tear. I think he had a game where he had like two home runs or some shit, right? Then the next day he was on the bench. And like that was when I really like peaked it and I really started noticing. I'm like, okay, this nigga's hot, but you gonna bench him because, it's a right-hander, so I'm gonna get my left-handed bats in there and shit like that. And it's like, he overthinks the shit. And like, watching Bruce Bochy manage here all them years, Bochy was like, yo, these is my starting eight. I'm gonna rock with these niggas. And then like, if it's like, you know, a day game after a night game or some shit like that, he might, put his backup catcher and let some of the old dudes have a day off.
Right.
But for the most part, it was like that starting eight was his starting eight, and he was rocking with it.
So,
ever since 2010, I ain't really been a big fan of him. And then when you look up and you realize 8 years, no playoffs on me, like, what are we doing? You know, what's the objective?
Yeah.
Is the objective just to, go out and, you know, look nice in the uniform.
Oh, and, so I think that's what it is.
You know what I mean? He looks managerial, so we're going to have him here. He sounds good in the press conferences, so are we trying to win a World Series? Because my thing is, I want to win a World Series, homie. If that ain't the goal, then what the fuck is we doing?
But I think that's a mentality. No, I think that's a mentality of San Diego in general. We ain't never had no championships. This city is hella laid back for the most part. But, yeah, I think they just going out there, hey, let's go play some baseball, make some money, and if we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. Mm-hmm. See you next season.
Yeah, pretty much, man. They, so apparently, like, they picked up his options all the way through 2015. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, if
well, that's next season. So.
Yeah, I feel like if they have a bad year this year,
Get rid of them
instead of having them be a lame duck with 1 year on the contract. Mm-hmm. Get rid of them. Just eat that last year of the contract, mm-hmm. and then bring in somebody who's going to get the most out of the players. And that's the other thing too. Is I realize, okay, it's easy to say we haven't had a lot of talent, but we've had a lot of young dudes come up through here. Mm-hmm. Who are the young position players that have come up during his time and developed?
Yeah, that is true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got a point with that.
It took until this past year for him to give Will Venable his most career at bats. You know what I mean?
Oh, really? See, I don't even know that.
Yeah,
this was, I know they always had him in the rotation. Mm-hmm. He was never one of the main, you know, three.
And this was the most at bats of his career, and he hit like 269, so like 270,
yeah, some home runs. Yeah.
So you know, let a nigga play every day, and he hit like 275 against lefties and shit. You know how we always talk about like
yeah, the matchups? Huh?
They be so like just.
I don't buy into that shit.
You know, I don't either.
You can hit or you can't, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? It missed me all the oh, it's a lefty on that, man. That's some bullshit.
And the other thing about it too is, when you swap him out, like say you swap him out for Chris DeNorfi, you also take Venable's defense out of the out of the lineup, and you take his base stealing.
Yeah,
and he's
got the whole athleticism, right? Yeah.
So yeah, man, I'm not big on Bud Black. For me, I feel like it's a make or break year for him, man. I'm not as high on him as you are. So.
No, I'm really not high. I'm just saying, if they got rid of him, I wouldn't even trip. Mm-hmm. As long as we brought somebody good in, you know. You know what? It's crazy because if you think about it. Look at Bruce Bochy. Even when we moved into Petco Park, we went to the playoffs, I think 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of him. Then this nigga go to San Francisco and win two fucking World Series. This dude knows how to manage games. He knows how to put his players in the best position possible to succeed. Yeah. And that's all baseball is when it comes to managing. You just need to put your players in the best position to succeed because you really don't have to call plays and shit.
Right.
You know, in basketball, you got to make substitutions because your players might be tired. You know, I mean, I want to say baseball is easy, but you just know how to, you know, you have to know how to manage your team and set them up, you know, to succeed, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But Black, like you say, don't do that. He's taking motherfuckers out, and you ain't started that. But damn, coach, I just went 4-5 last night.
Right.
I'm feeling good right now.
Or even within a game, a nigga will be like 3-for-3 or some shit, and then the other team will bring in like a left-handed reliever. Yeah. So he'll take the dude who's 3-for-3 out.
That makes no sense. And that fucks with, you see, baseball is big on momentum. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you get hot, you can go on a hot streak. You know what I mean? Sometimes you be cold, same shit. You know what I mean? So you take down 3-for-3. You done fucked up my whole psyche.
Yeah.
Like, damn, nigga, what the fuck?
What I got to do to stand in line
for
y'all?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, man. Yeah, fuck him. Get him up out of here.
Just peek that. All the Padres fans out there, man, just peek that while you're watching the Padres this year. And you'll see what I'm talking about, man. Like,
but a lot of these people ain't real baseball fans, so they don't look for shit like that.
That's true.
They just fall into the, you know, the stereotypical all. He's a lefty, so he can't hit a lefty.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not how it works.
Right. Get a nigga the at-bats and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this other baseball story I came across, it's kind of funny. I just wanted to talk about it real quick. Mm-hmm. It's about Bryce Harper. it's crazy-ass nigga, man.
Clown question, bro.
Yeah, he's a meathead.
Yeah, he is.
Bryce Harper hopes to avoid wall. Bryce Harper says he's not the only player who's had trouble running into walls. The Washington Nationals slugger said Wednesday that he's in good company, pointing out that Babe Ruth got knocked out running into a wall in the 1920s. Harper says he's heard plenty of wisecracks at his expense since his two collisions with outfield walls last year. The collisions left him with a left knee injury that hindered him much of the season. Asked if he plans to change the way he handles balls near the wall, he joked, "I'm just going to go right through it again." Then he added, "Nah, I'm going to try to get better at that." Harper had surgery in October and says he now has no problem with the knee. Now, what do you think about this nigga and, like, the way he plays and going into walls and shit like that?
You know what? I can't knock him for his hustle. Mm-hmm. But, nigga, yeah. What was the result of you running to that wall?
Right.
Fucked your knee up and you had to have surgery. Dummy. So, I mean, that's what the warning track is there for.
Right.
It warns you, hey, here comes the fence. So, as soon as you feel that grass going to dirt, like, hey, pick your fucking head.
Right.
You know what I mean? Slow. Put your arm out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, like you say, he's a knee head. Mm-hmm. If you can't do that, I mean, you just out there, you ain't thinking.
Right.
Point blank.
It's a shame, too, because he's talented as fuck.
Yeah, that nigga's talented.
But he needs to learn that, hey, nigga, you're mortal. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do shit if you ain't healthy, so. Mm-hmm. It's just funny to me reading his comments, because he's like, nah, I'm going to just go through it again. I think he really believes that, homie, because it's like.
Yeah, or he wouldn't have said it. Mm-hmm. Then he probably said, oh, no, I shouldn't have said this. I'm trying to jump about it. Yeah, yeah. Show ass up.
Let me try to clean it up and make it.
Right.
Oh, shit. All right, man. We weren't going to talk about this Durant and Rusky debate, but we got some other good shit we want to get into. I want to make sure we have enough time to cover all these crazy stuff.
Okay.
Real quick with my Aztecs, they lost again this past week, man. They ain't gonna go far in the tournament, man.
You think so?
I was more hyped for it, but I seen like the two losses that they've had in the past couple weeks. They struggle with teams with size and what's it called? They hitting a point in the season where like right now, I think a lot of cats' legs is tired and they're not shooting well. And when they don't shoot well, man, they don't got much else. Like they don't got enough dudes who get to the bucket consistently enough.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it depends on who they match up against in the tournament. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If they go against a team with a big dude or a couple big dudes, they're gonna be fucked. Unless they shoot real, real well. I think they shot.
But they're capable of doing that though.
Yeah, and they rely so much on shit from the outside though. Yeah. Is that you know, when it's not going down, then what do you do?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye on it, man. Keep updating it. They'll play New Mexico again. In San Diego when it
comes
to
the big difference.
Yeah.
A lot of teams go to New Mexico and lose.
That's true. It's a tough place to play.
It's a tough place to play.
I'm just worried about how this loss is going to affect their seeding and all that. And what the fuck is that?
That's the coach for the Bull. He just looked weird when he was laughing and shit.
Oh,
he's like a rapist. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I want you on my team, homie. Yeah, you got that weird look to him. Like, he be looking at little kids driving down the street. Hey, you want some ice cream?
That nigga looks strange as fuck.
Yeah. I hate to say that, but damn, homie.
Yeah, he looked a little weird.
You got money, you better get hit up some plastic surgery or something. Shit.
Oh, man. Alright, that's pretty much it for the main nuts and bolts of sports, but we're going to talk a little more sports with these crazy-ass stories.
Crazy-ass stories.
Alright, man, the first one, the biggest, craziest story of the week, apparently Ray Rice uppercutted his girl at a
Tiger uppercut.
Yeah. Damn, man. Yo, man, like, just don't be with no girl you got an uppercut.
Because I haven't watched the video yet. I just seen, like,
oh, I got pictures. It right here. They don't have a video of the uppercut yet, but
they have him dragging her out.
Dragging her out of the elevator. Did you see that?
Well, I haven't actually seen it. I just seen, like, still pictures of it.
Yo, she was not clean out.
Ray?
So basically, for those who don't know what happened, Ray Rice was with his fiance. And I think it's his baby mama. They were at a hotel and casino in Atlantic City. So they were at the club in the casino or whatever. You know, casinos always got clubs and shit. They're at the club and apparently they was going back and forth getting into it. And
bitch,
like she's out cold, homie.
That's crazy.
The only video that's out so far is him like carrying her out of the elevator and, you know, I don't know, trying to get her back to the hotel room or what, but. Reports say like they was arguing, going back and forth. She spit on him, hit him, and then he uppercutted her or some shit. But what you mean? You still can't hit the bitch.
No. See, no. That's not what I was. Not what I was doing. That it's just. See, that's what I'm saying. We was talking about it earlier about, you know, a lot of women. They feel, oh, we independent. You know, we can do whatever we want to. Yeah, to a certain extent, you can. But. One of the most disrespectful things you can do to a person is spit in their face.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So some people, their tolerance for shit like that is higher. No, I probably wouldn't, you know, close fists hit a bitch, you know what I'm saying? But I might slap the bitch. Nah, but for real, the homie, it's like,
Can't be punching the
bitch. Yeah, he can't. But what I'm saying is, as a female, what is going through your head to say, you know what? Oh, man, I'm going to spit on this motherfucker. Well, he ain't going to do shit.
That's my whole point, though. In any relationship, there's a lot of shit before you get to spitting at each other and punching each other in the nightclub, right? So, obviously, they ain't in a good relationship. And my whole thing is like, yo, even if you're a regular nigga, let alone a football player with a lot of shit to lose, don't be with somebody who you going back and forth with like that, and y'all arguing, y'all fighting, y'all push each other, smack each other, all that shit.
She probably got that good. She probably got that good ass pussy.
Ain't no pussy that good.
It ain't, but shit, he probably, you know, got that pussy whipped on.
And you can't hit her with the uppercut either, though. That's another thing.
Hit her with the tiger uppercut.
Tiger uppercut.
Hell no.
Like, you saw a video, she was not clean out, homie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's still a lot more to come out. Mm-hmm. It's not clear whether she was knocked out like that, unconscious like that, because she was just fucked up, drunk, or if he actually hit her. But there's eyewitnesses and shit, and it happened in a casino, so you know there's cameras everywhere. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't have cameras in the elevator.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess this is the only video that TMZ has got their hands on so far, but...
So they probably might have other shit to say release
it. Yeah, you know for a fact the police got every video. Yeah, you know, all the videos. So.
He's fucked, homie.
And that's the other thing. So what do you think this does for him in terms of, like, his football prospects? Because,
I mean, he last year was his worst year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So for this to happen, I mean, it puts him in a bad spot. You know what I mean? Because he ain't Adrian Peterson and shit.
Right.
Where teams might still, you know, say, nigga, you fucked up, but we still gonna fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? And see, that's the thing, because we was talking about, like, people in the locker room, homie. It's like, you want a nigga come back, like, nigga, how you gonna be socking up your girl like that? Yeah. Only now you wanna come out here, hang with me and my wife and my daughter. Nigga, get the fuck up out of my face, nigga.
Have you over my house, like, playing with my daughter?
Yeah, you know what I mean? But you over uppercutting bitches, homie. Yeah. You know what I mean? So... But like you said, at the same time, I think it goes, you know, both of them fucked up.
Yeah, because they both got arrested for assaulting each other.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't like women like that who, like, you know what I'm saying, want to get up in a nigga face and, you know what I mean, want to punch a motherfucker. Because, like, I'm only going to take so much, though. Mm-hmm. You just ain't going to steal on me, like, 5-6 times and, bitch, oh, yeah, you about to get body slammed or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, just, hey.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Like, if it's like a stranger, because I've seen females get buck wild on like a stranger, like at the bar or at the club and shit like that. So I feel you at a certain point, like, I'm gonna defend myself. Right? Yeah, I ain't gonna let you hit on me. But with your fiance, what I'm saying is, like, nigga, there was a point in the relationship, like, some years back before we got where you could tell, yo, this shit might not be a good relationship before you get to, I had to uppercut the bitch in the club, you know what I mean?
But remember, we talked about it. You young nigga, you see red flags, but you overlook them.
That is very true.
You know what
I
mean? So he might have overlooked him and shit, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, punch the bitch in the stomach or something, you know what I mean? Sweet kick the bitch. Don't hit her in her chin, dude.
Or just don't hit her.
You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, like, if you feel that's what you got to do at that point, homie, nigga, don't soccer her, you know what I'm saying? You might leave the evidence behind.
Red.
That's us be cracking up with these niggas who be beating on women, homie. They be socking them up in the face and black eyes. Oh, how about you? Oh, I fell down the stairs and hit my eye on the doorknob. Bitch, that don't even make no fucking sense. That nigga over beating on you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, motherfuckers is crazy, homie.
Yeah, don't be in no toxic relationship.
Yeah, man, because that's the end result.
Yep.
That's the end result. You know, alcohol was involved in that shit, too, so.
Fuck around and lose everything for one uppercut.
Yeah. You might have found out, oh, you sucking some nigga dick? Bop! You know what I mean? We don't know what happened.
Yeah. But still, you still can't uppercut him.
Yeah, bro. I know. I know.
Let's see, our next crazy story, man. Did you know 49ers coach Jim Harbaugh was almost traded to the Browns?
Yeah, I heard about that. Who was the last team to pull something off like that?
I think it was y'all.
Yeah, it was us. Yeah. And we got smashed by him the very next season.
I'll be training coaches. Why the fuck would you train a coach? This article is kind of interesting, man. It's off of NFL.si.com. Mm-hmm. The Cleveland Browns and San Francisco 49ers nearly pulled off a blockbuster trade recently that would have sent Jim Harbaugh to Cleveland in exchange for draft picks. According to Mike Florio, the deal was in place between the teams. Harbaugh nixed it to stay with San Francisco. The team conducted an extensive coaching search and explored several options, the Browns said in a statement Friday. That search produced an outstanding head coach in Mike Pettine, and we're excited about his future with the club. The NFL Network Ian Rappaport reported that a 49ers source called the report completely false. Of course, they can't acknowledge
it. Yeah, we try to trade that nigga.
Harbaugh's current contract situation is hovering over the 49ers offseason a bit. He's currently through three seasons of his five-year, $25 million deal. He getting broke off.
Yeah, he makes a lot of money.
Man, but he's a good coach, though. Mm-hmm. However, finals, let's see. Harbaugh said in December he absolutely wants to remain in San Francisco. However, final say over the roster currently rests with GM Trent Baalke, a dynamic which has Harbaugh reportedly may not be thrilled about. Yeah, that's always a...
Yeah, that's hard, man. Yeah.
You gotta let your coach pick his players, you know what I mean?
For the most part.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think the perfect situation with a GM and a coach should be, okay, as a GM, hey, who do you want? Mm-hmm. Give me a list of players you want. Mm-hmm. Now I come back, I look at the money situation, I'll check, you know, who we can fuck with, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Then narrow it down to, you know what I mean? Because we got salary cap issues or whatever the case may be.
Right.
You can't get it. We can't get everybody you want.
Right.
But I'll try to get the niggas you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's the perfect situation.
Or even, like, my thing is, like, in the draft room, right, mm-hmm. when they on the clock in the third round, not even, like, first round pick and shit, but, like, that's what people always focus on, first round, this and mm-hmm. that. But, like, say in the fourth round and y'all, you know, you're looking at the board, at y'all board, and it's like the GM is like, well, we're going to take this nigga because I think he's good. But the coach is like, I don't think he'll be a good fit here, yeah. this and that.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Defer to your head coach. Like, mm-hmm. if he doesn't want a certain player on the roster, mm-hmm. then, you know what I'm saying, rock with him.
Eagles. That's what it comes down to, egos.
Yeah.
So you can say, oh, I'll put this team together.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, nigga.
Right.
Shit. We ain't doing this shit for bragging rights. Yeah, please believe that.
Trying to win these championships. Yeah. That's it. Let's see. The Browns hold two first-round picks in the 2014 draft, number 4 and 26 overall. Terms of the proposed Harbaugh deal were not released, but it stands to reason at least one of those, or possibly both of those picks, could have headed San Francisco in exchange.
But both of them, you got to pull that trigger. Fuck, because you talking about Harbaugh, you're out of here.
That's real shit. I don't believe it.
Because they got talent. Ain't like they just saw our team. Yeah. Just like, you know, doing all this extraordinary shit to, you know, mm-hmm. will this team to win. Yeah, I'll bring somebody else up in there. Fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. But see, you know what? That's the thing, though. Because, you know what? I'm kind of like shaky on the story just because the deal didn't come out to what they was going to give up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because if it was really that close, they would have been a deal in place.
Uh-huh.
And if you're doing all this extensive, you know, interviewing and researching this shit, then you should be able to come up with that shit.
Right.
Stop lying, blood. You made it up.
You think the whole story's made up?
Nah, I don't think it's made up. I just think that they actually did reach out to him, but I don't think it was close as they, you know, saying it was. I think they trying to stir the pot.
Probably. Who knows with the Browns? They so fucked up.
Right.
His next story, man, he's Nick. How you pronounce his name?
I don't even know.
Nicodici, Robert.
Nicodemus.
Robert and Denzel Nicodici of Ole Miss are reportedly being sued for $2 million for an assault. Long story short, these niggas was at a party at a frat down in Ole Miss, and a scuffle broke out. And as everybody was leaving and taking off, this dude is alleging that Robert Nicodici punched him in the back of the head as they were leaving the party. It says it's Denzel Nicodici hit him in the back of the head. This dude's name is what's his name? Travis, I'm sorry. His name is Baird. His dude's, probably the dude's
Baird.
He says, as Baird was attempting to leave, Denzel Nicodici began spouting expletives and punched him in the back of the head, knocking him unconscious. Robert Nicodici and the unnamed plaintiff then began profusely stomping and beating the already unconscious plaintiff. Baird's friend Ford Everett was later added to the fracas when he attempted to save Baird by covering him up. Baird suffered multiple head injuries and was taken to a local hospital. While police investigated the case, after arriving on the scene, no arrest was made. Baird is seeking $2 million in damages for the battery, negligence, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. This is only the latest run-in with misconduct for Denzel Nicodici, who was suspended Monday after an arrest for disturbing the peace and disorderly conduct. He was celebrating his 21st birthday.
Mm-hmm.
This nigga be fucking up.
Yeah.
My thing about it is, man, when this whole thing first happened and police investigated, this motherfucker didn't name anybody. It was like, oh, it was...
Because he was fucked up. He don't know what the fuck happened.
Okay, but then down the road later, he remembers it was Robert Nicomichi, the biggest, best football player in the whole school. I thought
it was his brother that they were saying was the main culprit in that
Well, he named both of them, though, because, right. Which is the one that's going to be a top 10 draft pick in a minute. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying these niggas didn't do it. I'm just saying, when the police investigated, how come you didn't say nothing then?
Well, see, when I read the article, they said that them niggas was already gone when the police got there, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know what? It's a fucked up situation, homie. You know what? Usually, I'll be on a nigga side on this shit. Mm-hmm. But, because I done been to some functions and shit, and I see how shit go down, I wouldn't be surprised if them niggas did do the shit. You know what I mean? Because the other dude that got stomped out, his homeboy was there, and he seen all the shit happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, I mean,
okay, I get what you're saying. I'm not saying this nigga didn't get stomped out, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying he didn't get stomped out by some niggas on the football team. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is when the cops show up, okay, let's say I'm the cop. I'm like, okay, Mr. Dottie B, apparently your homeboy Bob Okinwa got stomped out at this party. Mm-hmm. Who did it? What happened? Right? You know who the niggas are. If you know it's Robert and Denzel Nicomichi.
What if he didn't know, though?
But then 6 months later, or however long later, he knows it's who it is, and it's the best football player in the school.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay, we know they was there. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's witnesses to this shit. Because I'm gonna tell a story. I got into a altercation one time at a club, mm-hmm. and I hate to say it, the nigga put hands on me. nigga. To this day, I can't tell you, what he looked like and who it was. Uh-huh. But Akil remembered what, so he was like, yeah, nigga, woo, 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 woo.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, well, damn, okay, well, fuck, I gotta trust my homeboy on this. I know them niggas was over there. I just don't remember, and I was faded that night, you know what I mean? So my recollection, all that shit is out the window. Okay. But it was other people there to see it. And I mean, from what this shit, this nigga got fucked up, though, Robert.
No, I'm not
this
saying
this wasn't just like no punch and that was it. They fucked him up.
What I'm saying is, when the police investigated the case, mm-hmm. they talked to all the witnesses and nobody said it was these niggas. The police did their whole investigation.
That's tough.
When the alleged incident occurred, the proper authorities investigated the matter and could find no evidence of wrongdoing related to Denzel and Robert Nicomichi. Or any other members of our football program. This is a personal matter for them, and we will support Denzel and Robert while they defend themselves in the civil case. What's up?
Okay. Now, let's look at this on the flip side, okay? Mm-hmm. This is one of your top recruits, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So, we know how this shit is in the South when it comes to college football.
Okay, I already know where you're
going. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that is a possibility too, you know what I mean? I don't know, they might try to sweep the shit under the rug, I don't know. You know what I mean? But I would hate. I mean, it's so many layers of this shit. I don't know what the fuck happened.
I'm just saying, for me, it's tough to think that even if it was the campus police, they came and 10 niggas is saying it was this nigga right here. Mm-hmm. It was this. Isn't it like Robert Nicomichi is an unnoticeable nigga? The nigga is what, like 6'5", like 300 pounds.
Big motherfucker. Yeah.
It's like, and he's the most known football player on campus. So it's like, yes, it was that nigga and his brother. They did the shit. And the police get all these statements from all these people and they go, well, we just ain't gonna,
just like the Jameis Winston shit, you know what I mean?
Can I play the game now?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, the train game.
Oh, when we're done, okay?
Okay.
Almost.
So, I mean, it's
too long.
We almost done, RJ, man.
No, you're done.
Go in the room and close the door.
Okay.
We had to get him on the podcast one day. But, you know what, man? Because, I don't want to say we know how shit work, but it's no doubt in my mind that they could have went and said, hey, look, we got some shit. Coach, woo-woo-woo. Went to the athletic director. Hey, that's all I got to say. If they will cover up a coach raping little boys, they'll cover some shit up like this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, it's a possibility. They went to the AD. Hey, man, look at this shit. This is what we got on our hands. What you want us to do with it?
Right.
Okay, we'll take it over.
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a possibility. I'm not saying that's what's going on, but you have to take that into account, homie, especially with these Southern universities because they love their football. So, I don't know, man. It's just fucked up all around. I don't like seeing nobody getting smashed like that, homie.
Got you. See, that's what I'm saying. In the police report, it just only says that witnesses saw the Nick and Dicci brothers and some other football players on the scene. It might be what you talk about, because it's saying a partial copy of the incident report is heavily redacted, but lists Denzel and Brian Nicodemi, along with basketball star Marshall Henderson.
Oh, it is a basketball star too.
Oh, that nigga's crazy too. Yeah. That's the crazy white boy that be doing all kinds of crazy shit. And if he was a nigga, he'd been kicked out a long time ago.
Oh yeah, I know you. Saw,
yeah,
that nigga. Yeah, this shit sounds real. Smells real fishy, homie.
It does not, however, specify why the last three are included, and only states that a witness saw the Nicodemi brothers and some other football players on the scene.
Mm.
If Roberts' name is included, it was blacked out. So, I mean, who knows? Like, one thing, I'm always skeptical when it turns into a lawsuit.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah,
a lawsuit
yeah, I am too.
The nigga who you know is about to be paid. So,
I'm skeptical of all shit that's going to sell.
Just everything.
Yeah, Hillbilly Nation, man.
The whole thing.
Oh, dang.
Yep, yep. We got another crazy ass story from the world of college football,
oh,
man.
Shit, what we got next?
Oh, yeah, this one pretty good. Let's see. We got... apparently, it's an NCAA violation to eat too much pasta.
What happened with this shit?
Let's see. It says, Oklahoma Athletics apparently doesn't believe in all-you-can-eat banquets. The Sooners elected to self-report three players for getting more food at a graduation banquet than they should have, according to the Oklahomans. The violations occurred on May 10, 2013, according to the newspaper, with pasta being the specific item in question. To have their eligibility reinstated, the three had to donate $3.83 each the cost of the pasta serving to charities of their choice. While the Sooners elected to self-report, the NCAA released a statement saying that what the three players did was not a violation of any NCAA rules. While we appreciate Oklahoma's commitment, there are no NCAA rules regarding portion sizes, and any penalties were determined by the university. Although the players were not identified, offensive lineman Gabe Eichert and Austin Woods took to Twitter to fess up to piling on the pasta and claimed they paid $5 for their food. But that's what's crazy is like that the school was worried that it might be a violation for eating too much shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Every fucking thing is a violation of the NCAA.
Some big ass dudes too. Shit, you know they coming in to eat.
You know they was fucking some food. Yeah.
Yum 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 yum. That's crazy. Man.
All the pasta. Yeah, that's wild, man. This next one, man, it ain't even really a sports story, but it's kind of interesting. It's been a talk lately. Apparently, they want to split California up into multiple states. There's a plan in place to break up California because it's too big, and you know the state government can't properly service all regions of California, so they want to break it up into anywhere from 2 to 6 different individual states.
Right.
I ain't gonna read the whole article because it's long and it's a bunch of
gibberish
shit. But now, what do you think about it though, as a California resident native? How you feel about it?
I mean, if because we know California's a fucked up state, you know what I mean. So if whatever we can do to generate more, you know, monies and shit like that, and, you know, lower taxes for us, and, you know, because I hear, you know, we arguing over who going to get water and when we going to get in shit. If we can limit all that, then I'm all for it.
You see, I don't think this will do that, though.
I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm just saying, though, if that's what, you know, the research and everything shows and we can actually accomplish that, then yeah, I'm all for it. But if it's just to do it, just to do it, then, I mean, fuck, hell nah.
Yeah, the biggest problem is, man, our state government don't be doing what the fuck they're supposed to do.
That's true.
And you have so many competing interests within our state, you know, because we're a state that has, you know, got the farming industry in one part of the state, all the way to the technology industry.
Silicon Valley
shit. So we have so many different interests at play, and motherfuckers just don't know what the fuck they're doing. But even with all that, we still have the, like... California has the 10th largest economy in the world, homie.
Yeah.
Just our state alone. And that's why I don't think this will happen. It's kind of interesting that it's going on the ballot and shit. Mm. I guess they got enough signatures and shit to get it on the ballot. And
so somebody wants to pass this for a certain reason. I don't know why. You know what I mean? Somebody stems to make money off this, maybe more money than they are right now. And
right.
I mean, as long as it's helping out San Diego, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I feel you. I don't know if it will, though, because we'll be tied into, from what I heard, we'll be tied into Orange County, like us in Orange County, will be like one region or state or whatever. Yeah.
And then L.A. and Bakersfield would be one. And keep breaking it up from there. So, I don't know, man. Just niggas need to just do their job.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, that's what it comes down to, I mean, because you know what? I mean, just like with the San Diego shit with the pension fuck up and all that and outsourcing all the work. You know what I mean? Like, that's what that comes from is motherfuckers ain't doing their job right.
City council members just not doing their job.
But you know what? Because, like, we kind of getting off the subject right now when I'm about to bring this up. Because, you know, we just had the special election and shit. And me and my dad kind of got an argument because he's like, who you going for? I'm like, I ain't voting, man. Fuck that. He was like, why not? I said, because you know what, man? Now that all this shit is coming out, we had two scandals as far as motherfuckers, you know, throwing money at people. The one dude was throwing money at some councilman to trying to get the existing police chief out, and they're gonna put their own dude in. I'm like, what? I said, oh no, and you want me to vote for certain shit? I'm not voting for these motherfuckers, homie. Because a lot of this shit, they be doing some foul shit.
It's shady, homie. Politics is super shady.
So, I mean, I just, politics is hella shady. It's all about who got money, who getting the most money from certain motherfuckers, and then they gonna, you know, tether to them. They don't give a fuck about us, so why should I vote, homie? I don't fuck it. I don't be fucked regardless. I really go to my practice on time to, you know, wait in line, and, you know what I mean, and vote. Fuck y'all.
Right. And the other thing about this story, too, is a lot of people don't realize is the only way for it to go through is for Congress to approve it anyways.
Oh, okay.
Even if we approve it in California, you know, Congress, I don't think they'll let it slide through. And they create, you know, 5 or 6 more states, you know what I mean?
Yeah, more Senate seats and more shit like that. Right. They ain't trying to deal with that shit. They can't even deal with the shit they got now. They dumbasses.
Yeah, man. Our government all around is fucked up. That's why. Just do you and get your money while you're bullshitting. That's my philosophy. All right, our last crazy story of the week. This one hits real close to home. man, this story is almost too crazy to be true.
If you think about it, it's really not crazy because when it happened, I just shook my head. I wasn't even surprised.
Well, you know what? I heard them on the news. You know, they go, I always do news at 11, internet. I said, a boy, you know, robs an ice cream truck. I was like, oh, I bet you that was in the Southeast.
Yeah.
And then when I watched the news later, in the Southeast. So for those who don't know, a boy used a gun to rob an ice cream man. The description, a 10 to 12 year old boy armed with a gun. committed armed robbery of an ice cream truck in Skyline. A child used a gun to rob an ice cream truck Thursday, according to San Diego police. The ice cream truck driver told police he was held up at the corner of Black Oak Road and Meadowbrook Drive Thursday, just before 7 p.m.
The Brook.
Pull over, nigga. Get back yourself, nigga. Let me get all the cash and a big stick, right?
We'll get 2 ice cream sandwiches and some hot Cheetos, nigga. And a stick of Chico. That's crazy.
Hurry up, nigga. Once he got the money, the boy got away riding a skateboard.
God, I didn't even know that. He didn't even have a bike. He didn't even have a skateboard, homie.
San Diego's robbery division is investigating the case, and they are taking the crime very seriously.
Hell yeah.
He believed it was a real weapon, and that's what we're going with, said Officer James Johnson. Now, whether it turns out to be a pellet gun or airsoft, who knows? Yeah, it don't matter. But at this point, it's described as a very real handgun. Man, this little nigga, fuck this
little
life.
Bad motherfucker.
They gonna catch him, too.
Yeah, but it's little bad motherfuckers all through the Southeast
It really is.
And we go to Insufficient Daddy, like you'd like to call it.
He believed it was a real weapon. That's what we're going with. Officer said the boy was described as 10 to 12 years old and about 100 pounds, wearing a white t-shirt and red basketball shorts. I think he was banged out already.
Banged out already, yo.
The ice cream truck driver was not injured. Officials originally said several children were involved in the robbery. There were other children in the area, but officers say it now appears that those children were not involved. So that's probably all just trying to buy ice cream and shit.
Here come this nigga.
Yeah.
Man, is that little Jimmy? Jimmy, you fucked it up for everybody. This nigga ain't coming back no more. Man. Little badass Jimmy.
Nigga pulled a gun on an ice cream man, nigga.
It's like, I mean... But okay, I mean, you know what's funny? Because, I mean, it's actually not funny, but you know, we're talking about white privilege and shit. So, me and Lo was at work talking about it. So, this white dude that we work with, he grew up over by Barstow and shit. He's like, wait a minute, what happened? We told him, he said, are you kidding me? Right. And we like kind of laughing at the shit. He was like, that is so crazy. I said, yeah, I mean, but yeah, we from homie? I mean, don't shit surprise us. You know what I mean? He was just like baffled. And I told him about some of the shit that happened when we was growing up. You know, it's how, you know, shit get people, I mean, kids getting killed and shit like that. He was just like, I just, you know, when we're all from, you hear about that shit, but when you actually meet somebody, and I'm like, yeah, man, that shit, it happens, you know what I mean, in the hood.
Shit is real, homie. Yeah,
it's real life shit. Nigga, that colors and all that shit you see, that ain't no made up shit, homie.
Right.
Yeah, but it just goes to show, man. It's actually sad, though, man, that, you know, you got 10, 11, 12-year-old kids running around with pistols, mm-hmm. robbing motherfuckers.
Right. Damn shame, man. Yeah. I hope they catch this little nigga, man. They get his parents, too.
You know, let me ask you a question. What's up? Because I know as far as, like, when it comes to murders and shit, they try juveniles as adults and shit.
Mm.
What about this? Because this is armed robbery, right?
Yeah.
Well, so what is the options and shit? Could they, if they wanted to, charge?
Yeah, they
do
could.
Do you think they should?
I think it would depend. I think if he's 10 mm-hmm. instead of 12, that's going to make a difference.
It does make a big difference. But they even told him, man, try him as a dog. He's going to do a dang of time, homie.
And then if the gun was real, it's going to come a lot of shit. Like, how old he is, mm-hmm. if the gun was real or mm-hmm. a pellet gun,
mm-hmm.
and where he got the gun from, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. His home situation, all that shit. Like, they'll factor in all that shit.
Probably got it from his older brother or something.
Right.
And he probably got all kind of crimes on that motherfucker if it's real. Now he gonna go down.
Yeah,
it's fucked up.
Like, you got me caught up there.
Yeah, man. Fuck your little ass up. Yeah.
I mean, I'm hopeful that they don't charge him as an adult, mm-hmm. man, because, you know.
He's still a kid, homie.
Yeah, as much shit as I talk, man, he still got a chance to be.
Yeah, like, to change the shit, yeah.
You know what I mean? But still, though, man, like, a lot of it depends on his family situation. Because he could be from a good family. We automatically jump to this.
Yeah, that's true. He's from a fucked up family.
Yeah. He could be from a good family and just did some dumb shit without realizing, like, the severe consequences right. of what the fuck he was doing, you know?
But, because you big on statistics, nigga. Statistics show he probably came
from fucked up shit.
You know what I mean? Excuse me, do some shit like that. And we both came from pretty good backgrounds and mm-hmm. shit. And at any point in your life, did you say, you know what, nigga, I should go rob this motherfucker? Like, no.
Yo, most of my life, especially at that age, was spent trying to not get them hands put on me by pops.
Yeah.
So, it's like, if I rob this ice cream truck, pops mm-hmm. gonna put them hands on me.
Yeah.
So, I'm not gonna rob the ice cream truck.
Right.
And leave it at that, you know, but... Yeah, man. Some niggas, man, they don't have that.
Okay, no, I'm going to tell a story, homie.
What's that?
I remember I was in the sixth grade, I think. So, you know, you're about 11, 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had got me an Atlanta Hawks hat, which was red.
Mm-hmm.
And I got me some red Air Force Ones. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I don't think my parents, it was dawning on them, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn, we buying this nigga a lot of red shit. So, you know, games was just kind of, it was heavy back then. You know, I remember we used to go to the rec and shit. It'd be little niggas banging and shit. So, we call ourselves hanging with them and shit. But, you know, I'm wearing red and shit. And I remember we was going to my older brother's baseball game. So, me and my dad, it was just me and my dad. We left our house, you know, 63rd.
Mm-hmm.
And was going to Morris. So, he got over there by Howell's Liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just dawned on him. He looked at me. He's at the light. She's like, Dallas, what's up with all that red, man? He's like, what you mean? He said, oh, nah. We turned around, went back to the pad, and he's taking all that shit off. You know what I mean? He said, I don't know what you call yourself doing, you know what I mean? But you're going to be up here game, man. And woo, just gave me this whole spiel, you know, basically. And he had that look in his eye, like, I should fuck you up right now for even attempting to wear that shit. Right. And slide by me like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I had to change my shit, homie. Mm-hmm. And that's how Pops handled his homie. He's like, yeah, nigga, it ain't going down like that. You know what I mean? So I was like, well, I ain't doing that again, because it looked like that nigga's about to OJ me.
Right. Not trying to catch that beat down.
Yeah, right.
But see, that's good parenting, though. Like, you know what's fucked up? That's something real basic, right? You don't even think much about it. Like, that's something real basic that you would think a parent would do. Mm-hmm. A lot of motherfuckers ain't got that, homie.
Yeah.
Like, they let motherfuckers run the street, wear whatever they want, mm-hmm. do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? 10, 12 years old, going out the house, no... You know, set time when you need to be back.
Right, yeah.
Be down the street mm-hmm. like 5, 6, 7, 8 blocks mm-hmm. away. Don't know where the little nigga at. You know what I mean?
Man.
Like, that's crazy, homie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how niggas end up robbing ice cream trucks.
Real shit. At gunpoint.
You robbed the ice cream truck.
That's crazy, homie.
I wonder how much he got away with. Did it say how much he got away with?
Nah, I don't think
it can't be. It can't be that much.
This nigga selling ice cream, homie. I don't know. The prices for ice cream nowadays, bro. Shit. I can go buy me a 24-pack of Costco as much as they sell them for one fucking ice cream sandwich. Shit.
Unless it was a nigga slanging out the ice cream truck, and that nigga really came away with some.
You see, know what? You didn't think, I didn't even think about that.
He didn't put Black Rob on the case.
I didn't even think about that, homie. That's real shit.
His uncle or his brother probably told him, go do, hey, yeah. Nigga, go.
Because you a minor, homie, and if you do get caught, you know what I mean, the time ain't going to be as much as I'm going to get. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I never, never thought about that. That's something you do got to think about, homie. I'm pretty sure they're thinking about that shit. They just ain't put it in the fucking paper, though.
Right.
Yeah.
They on it, homie.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Police is up on game nowadays. Yeah. You really can't get past police with too much shit now. Mm-hmm. Maybe 30 years ago. But now, hell no. That's why I crack up. I niggas be out slanging and banging and shit. Don't you know these niggas know what you're doing now? Right. They tapping shit. They got niggas snitching on y'all, and y'all still want to risk this shit? Y'all crazy.
Yo, the ones who kill me is the ones who put their shit on Facebook and Instagram. Like, you heard about the nigga that got arrested in New York because he had a picture of himself with a rocket launcher on Instagram. You ain't see this?
A rocket launcher?
Yeah.
That nigga, the police ain't fucking with you, nigga. The motherfucking FBI is coming to get your ass down. That's crazy.
Like, this nigga posted all kind of pictures with guns and,
He was black?
Yeah.
Why you got a rocket launcher in the hood, though?
Like, what you gonna do with it, nigga?
He ain't blowing up no tanks or nothing like that. He gonna shoot down the ghetto bird? Shooting out the police helicopter and shit. This motherfucker crazy.
These niggas be thinking Grand Theft Auto is real, homie. Like, you are not CJ.
I know it's so funny. I swear I'm about to say these niggas play too much Grand Theft Auto, homie. Putting in secret codes and shit. Yeah. Unlimited ammo. Like, no, nigga, that's not real life, homie. These niggas was crazy, man.
It's talented, homie. Oh, that's too funny. But yeah, man, that's it for this week, y'all. Another episode of No Winter in San Diego in the books.
In the books, baby.
We did it again. Mm-hmm. But thank you again for taking the time to listen and download the show. Thank you all for joining us again. We're going to do it every week. Sundays, we'll record and get the episodes out every Sunday. As always, find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Search for No Winter in San Diego. Hit us up. If you send us an email, we'll take the time to read it on the show. We want it to be interactive. Any topics that we brought up or discussed during the show, man, send us your input. Let us know what you think. You know, give us your opinion on it. NoWinterInSanDiego@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter. Dally B is at DallyBZ619. I'm at Black Rob, BlackRob. On Twitter, a lot of different ways to find us. Hit us up, try to make it as interactive as possible, and we're gonna do it every week, man. As we always say, thank you for joining us, Daddy D. You got anything else for the people?
It's Charles.
Yeah, man, it's about 75 degrees today.
Yeah, it is
in February. You know what I mean? Yeah, so come visit this city, man. Let us come pay some taxes and shit. Fuck, you know, we try to build a stadium out here. Come break bread.
We need it.
Yeah, but nah, I appreciate it, y'all. You know what I mean? Taking the time out of your day and just to listen to us, man. Like Robert said, just, you know, send us feedback, you know, so we can talk shit.
That's what's up, man. We'll be back again next week, y'all. No Winter in San Diego. We out.
Over and out.
cause I'm the baddest dude a quarterback has ever seen. There's four more guys who's got my back. That's why we lead the league in the quarterback sack. Before the day is done, you'll remember.